Today's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that wants you to know that therapy doesn't have to break your bank. In fact, it should be affordable, confidential, and convenient. Over 500,000 people have used Talkspace to talk to their own handpicked licensed therapist, and you can too. To sign up or to learn more, go to Talkspace.com/zone or download the Talkspace app and use coupon code ZONE to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this podcast. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. Okay!
Welcome to the friend.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Do do you even know I'm alive? Do do you even know I'm alive? Do do you even know I'm alive? I'm alive. I'm alive. Do do you even know I'm alive? Do do you even know I'm alive?
Can you hear me?
Do do you even know I'm alive?
Tap the mic.
I'm alive. I'm alive.
So do you know that
I'm alive?
Because I'm rapping every week like
alive-er.
If I was beautiful, Shakira and Beyonce would have me on the floor dancing and rolling around. Maybe like Christina Milian when she was on the ground. Dipping it low, dropping it slow, taking it up and breaking that back like a big backhoe. And a big back coke can stack up next to me, cause you know that I'm back with a new rap for the friend zone. You know how I rap, but I'm alive and I'm on the throne with a new flap. A new flap, that's flow rap. So shut your trap, speak in the trap. Pretty girls like trap, get the new 2 Chainz and shut your trap. I said, Dustin, where you at? Cause I know you're alive, so you need to pick up the beat, right? So I'm gonna take over the flow. And here go Dustin. I said, here we go.
So do you even know I'm alive? Hop into this whip, let's take a drive. It don't matter, it's recorded or live. It's going down and we finna ride. We going on a trip to somewhere. You pick the place, girl, I do not care. Just promise me you gon' comb your hair. Cause that's important to me, you see. My name is Dustin, and guess what? That there begins with a D. And I just tried to handle my business, it moves like a G. And I just messed up, but I'm gonna come back just straight lyrically. Because this is something I do, in fact, it is part of me. And I'm not from the South, I'm from the North. From F-L-I-N-T, that is the Flint, the Michigan. And that's my fucking city. And when I lived there, then we lived at that water, it was clean. And then you just keep going if your flow is me. And it don't. So, you just make the booty drop and make the beat just move. And this is tribute to Michael Jackson.
Y'all should see us. Tell me my shirt says.
Asante shirt say MAGA. No, I'm just playing. Asante
oh, hell no. We're mad at the good people.
His shirt say carefully black boy, and the black is in all caps.
Oh, that is really cute.
Carefree.
Where'd you get that?
Somebody gave this to me in Houston, actually.
He was at the Carefree Texas Curl baby table. You was at the expo, wasn't you? Carefree Curl. Carefree Curl, they need to sue whoever started that Carefree
shit. That's what
shit
this is from?
Carefree Curl?
I don't know
what Carefree Curl is, don't you?
Is that like just for me?
Close, but no cigar. It's like ooh, it's a Jerry Curl. Carefree Curl, that was the Jerry Curl
system.
So it's
more like Elastic QP.
No, that was a great product line.
Why do you even
and
know that?
And that was Elastic QP was some of the best oil sheen you could get your hands on. I ain't even got no more hair.
I went to a party once and they had in the grab bag. And I was like, oh, let me use this. It was the whole set. And it wasn't water
I'm
like
dead.
That.
Elastic QP, that was the good hood salon.
It
they
was
used Elastic
yes
QP products.
Yes. Yes.
They did.
It was mm-hmm like the different greens on the
and remember the packaging was at then remember they changed to black and white. It was white with the black. Black,
yes,
black, Elastic QP.
Yes.
That oil sheen.
I'm telling you, it was the shit.
Y'all is so random.
Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental hygiene, and apparently oil sheen. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? I know I don't. I ain't one of the same.
That's why I got a lot of QP on the brain.
How are you guys? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. How was your weekend, Asante? My weekend was actually good. I worked.
Yeah, you worked?
Yeah, I was working. I got a lot of great other things done. I filmed for a web series that was really cool. You know, I was just busy, like quiet from Married to Medicine. Very busy.
Miss Quiet. Miss Quiet.
Hey, she got it. She got it. What's going on, Asante?
Nothing, you know, living life. Life and living. Very special. You know, life is great. It was a very eventful weekend. Got to catch up with some friends. Shout out to Moselle holding it down at Pompeii Wine Shop.
Yes.
Plays the show every week. So, you know, got to shout out my bro there. Got to kick it with him and just say what up and talk shit.
Are you guys restarting your Sunday series?
At some point, Sunday sessions will return.
Now I'm going. Nice out.
Looking at some dates in July, but you know, he's a busy man and I'm a busy man.
True.
You know, the Pompette Wine Shop has been featured on other podcasts, such as, you know, the Michael Rappaport show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really dig that show. You know, they talk about a lot of the 420 things on there, amongst other things. So just shout out to Mo. You know, black business out here growing and expanding. The wine bar will be open soon.
Oh,
keep everybody posted on that. How are you doing, friend? You know, you over here looking lovely as per usual.
Thank you. I'm good. I leave to Dominican Republic.
Oh, my God.
Well, by the time you guys... Well, first of all, happy solstice.
Hey!
By the time you guys are hearing this, it'll be officially the first day of summer.
Hey. Yes, make
I thought
it
you
clap.
Was about to say happy Juneteenth. I was going to say, oh,
happy Juneteenth,
happy
for real.
Juneteenth. That too.
Okay.
Show all your teeth on Juneteenth. That's what I plan on doing, because that was the day slavery was over.
It's over.
That's my kind of holiday. That's when they said, you know what? Cuss each and every one of their asses out when you get the notion, because they can't do it to you no more.
I told
my
y'all
kind of day. Like,
I told y'all today how I was acting a fool on the train. The lady was like, can you turn that down, when I was listening to 2 Chainz? And I said, of course not. I'm about to turn this up. And
I'm dead that you responding that way.
Well, because right. She asked me a question and I was not finna lie to the lady. She might as well know what was about to happen next so she could arm herself as she seen fit. Which might have meant moving seats, which she did not do. So, you know, that's
so apparently she liked it. 808 is pie is power in that 808, y'all.
I'm sure she
might have liked it.
She might be like, I think I want to like trapeze.
Oh,
too.
So this is how it's supposed to feel. All right.
I'm dead. Yeah. No, I wish I could have seen the way you just said.
Why did you see
it? I like this. I'm never going fucking line dance with Chuck anymore. My achy breaky heart is on beat now.
He should have started the trap salon. He was giving free mani pedis.
I wanted
so
to go.
Cute.
And the salon was cute. And he had names for each nail set. I was like, 2 Chainz don't give a fuck.
That's so dope. Where was it?
In Atlanta.
Only so smart.
Somebody tweeted too. They were like,
his marketing team was on.
They tweeted, only in Atlanta can you get your nails done for free by 2 Chainz.
I love it. And man. Apparently they had like, the traffic was jammed because of it, because so many people turned out.
That's dope.
So dope. I love that.
Shout out to Titty Boy, ATL.
Speaking of features, I just want to highlight one really quick second.
Wow, that,
one little podcast called The Friend Zone was actually highlighted by Black Enterprise.
Yeah.
Okay, magazine.
Cute.
In the list, they published this article on June 12th, 2017, just a couple days ago.
17.
They published an article called The 16 Best Black-Hosted Smart and Funny Podcasts of 2017.
Are you serious?
Wow. I'm dead serious.
That's so cool.
And let me tell you.
Thank you, Black Enterprise.
Okay.
One of the podcasts that they featured under the wellness and mental health category was this here, The Friend Zone, by Dustin Ross, Francesca Medina of Hey Friend Hey,
okay.
And Asante Smith.
Hey.
That's right. The Friend Zone was featured. They said that you should think of this health and wellness podcast as your friend and confidant for all things related to mental hygiene because, quote, who wants their mind to be musty?
They didn't
end
say,
quote.
Who wants their mind? They have
you
to
was
class
close,
it up.
You know? And we appreciate the effort
because,
around
quote,
here.
Quote, who wants their mind to be musty?
We
that's should, right.
We got to save that copy for if we have to, like, go somewhere. You know?
I just want people to know that we have literally been featured in
class.
Black Enterprise. Now, let me just say, okay? That is a huge deal. Absolutely. For a black American, because so growing up, absolutely, Black Enterprise is like the classy magazine for, right, like, you know,
the one we would not have been,
yeah,
in.
You know, absolutely, like people not went to school and shit, you know, the Black Enterprise was like the,
you need to be reading this and not the comic books, like,
oh, that was like goals. So
that
I just
was the Jack,
you know,
and Jill kids, right?
Oh my god, what are you about to do?
Yeah. Also, and all that. Really quick, in that same article, the Combat Jack Show, our network family, they were also mentioned.
Shout out to
As a podcast for everybody and everything to listen to. And Two Dope Queens is featured. Just a lot of dope podcasts were featured. So it was nice of them to give us some of that love.
That's so dope. Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Black Planet.
Thank you, Black Enterprise. I feel good about
Black
myself.
Black Enterprise. You know, I'm still a hood rat. I was like, Black Planet. I read one of these emails and they're talking about Black Planet in here. I'm not going to read this as asking for a friend.
Black Planet.
Yes, it says it in this asking for a friend. I'm like, why,
like,
are you?
As in they were still active today?
That's still a site?
Asante, you guys, okay, well, just read it.
Okay,
now
I gotta
email.
Read it.
What? You can't read it.
I'm like, what in the hell?
Okay, actually, present the next segment, friend, and I'm gonna read it so it'll be in context.
Well, first, I think we should make the awesome announcement that we are finally back on tour.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And we'll be celebrating. First of all, we're almost at 100 episodes.
Yes, we are. We're 7 episodes away, I believe.
Which means that we are close to our 2nd anniversary.
Yes.
Which means that it's time to have a live show. And yes, it will be, drum roll, in New York on August 19th.
I'm so excited, you guys. The Friend Zone is coming back. 2-year live anniversary show. Saturday, August 19th. Look out for tickets. They go on sale this Friday at
thefriendzonelive.com.
That's right.
And we're so excited to see you guys. Tickets will go on sale this Friday at noon Eastern time. Once again, that's Saturday, August 19th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Tishman Auditorium, our 2-year Friend Zone anniversary show in NYC. We cannot wait to see you guys.
I can't even believe it's happening.
We're planning out the next cities because we will literally be seeing all of you for the rest of the second half of the year.
Yes.
So all the rest of the cities, Sante just made a face like, woo. All the rest of the cities will be announcing you as we go. So we're so excited.
Yeah.
We have to get that out the way. And of course, London, we are coming to you super soon, August 5th. Right?
Yes.
That's right. We're going to be out there with Two Dope Queens Podcast, Brilliant Idiots. Shout out to Charlamagne and Schultz.
Yes.
Great that y'all shouted us out.
Oh, Two Dope Queens is on it?
Two Dope Queens is one of the headliners along with us.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't even know they got added. That's so dope. It's going to be dope. So it looks like the Americans are just going to
take over
the festival.
That's right.
Dope. It's going to be a lot of fun. So can't wait to see you guys. Anything else you guys want to announce before we start the show?
Just that we got some more dope announcements coming soon, too. And this is going to be a good summer.
You know what? Oh, we sure do.
And speaking of kicking off summer, since it's going to be here on Sunday, 305 Live, we're going to see y'all.
Oh, I'm so
sad. If you're in New York City.
Damn. I'll be in the Dominican Republic in my wellness retreat. I'll just be getting back the next day. I'm so sad. But I know you guys are going to have so much fun. Last year was amazing.
Yes, we are.
Your absence.
Yeah, love you, Fury.
That's tradition. That is like the party of the summer. We do this every year.
The kickoff.
I mean, y'all know what the vibe is, what the energy is. It's just a feel good, shake it, move it, break it to the ground ass party. And
come to sweat out your sexuality and just get it popping.
I can't wait. It's going to be a good time.
Nice.
I can't wait. Where can they get
so
tickets
sad.
To 305 Live? Is it 305live.com?
They can go to KidFuryLive.com for all things Kid Fury, which includes the tickets for this show. But let me just double check to see if there's another link, because, you know, they like them links.
And I mean, I know it's a direct route. You know, I'm trying to put y'all on the express train to the tickets. Okay. I don't want y'all riding local.
And the show is...
yeah.
The show is over halfway sold. I will definitely say that. The party, I shall say. And I think it sold out last year. So if you come in, go ahead and get your tickets and come. Because last year was way too lit.
It was but so it's dope.
It's definitely on KidFuryLive.com. So go and get your tickets. And I hope to see you all on Sunday in Turner.
Cute. So y'all ready to jump into the show?
Absolutely.
Let's start the process, shall we?
Okay, so on last week's show, a lot of you were triggered. I love the comments that you guys left on SoundCloud. They were like paragraphs this time, which means that you were feeling it. We discussed the topic of ghosting. Have you been ghosted? Have you ghosted? And as usual, a lot of you had so much to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
There were a ton of you in the emails.
I need to read them. I'm so curious.
I'm just going to start with this one. It says, ghost you before you ghost me. How you think you ghost me? That's the subject of this. Hey, y'all. Y'all can call. Ooh, I'm not calling you that. That's my ex's name. It's funny that this week's topic was ghosting. So here we go. I finally flew out to meet a long-lost internet friend. I am in my early 30s, and I went to see a male friend from my Black Planet days. I told y'all I was reading some of the emails and said Black Planet.
Dead.
This is why, so I had to tell y'all that.
And mi gente. Remember mi gente?
Oh, my God. Asian Avenue.
And Asian Avenue.
Okay, but did you ever get on Block Savvy?
No, what
okay,
was that?
I'm going to tell you about Block Savvy later. I'm going to tell you about it later. Anyway, we did not live in the same state. We both went through college and made successful moves in our careers. Over time, we kept in touch via MySpace, then Facebook, but never meeting with each other because we were either busy in our careers or in our respective relationships. He had talked with video chat, texts, and emails for damn near 14 years. Finally, in 2017, I took the initiative and flew out to meet him after he DM'd me. I stayed 4 days, and my anxiousness got the best of me. I feel like I was more quiet and reserved than I really am, possibly because I was finally in his presence and I was worried about making a good impression. Overall, we spent time together eating, playing video games, cracking jokes, and even some sexy time. I even met some of his friends and family. When I finally got back to my city, I texted him I was back and thanked him for opening his home. He did not reply back anything.
No.
But I saw that he had time to post on Instagram and whatnot. I gave him 24 hours to text or call. He did not. I guess my insecurities got the best of me, and I wanted to ghost him before he ghosted me. I took the punk way out and deleted and blocked him across all media. If he did ghost me, I guess I will never know. And if I actually did ghost him, it was out of fear of putting myself out there for an entire weekend. So this stood out to me because of the Black Planet thing initially. Now, after reading the entire thing, that is some mess right there.
I don't even know how I would feel.
If anybody, first of all, I don't know if you can say your insecurities got the best of you. Yeah, maybe you did act a little different in person, but I can see why you ghosted this person, and I don't know if I feel like I would have done the same thing. I don't know if I would have been in this position, honestly. But had I just not heard from this person for 24 hours, I think I would have gotten mad and like...
Yeah, I would definitely feel away.
But I don't know if you should even give them a second thought since they weren't giving you a second thought anyway. And I wouldn't chalk it up to your insecurities. You just were where you were when you met them, and you weren't comfortable enough to just get past whatever was going on. They weren't comfortable enough to help you through it. So, you know, somebody needs to be ghosted. And like we said last week, sometimes people just need to be ghosted. So that's all that's over here. What stood out to you in the SoundCloud comments, friend?
Mm-hmm. There was so many, to be honest. I wanted to pick a few, but I'm going to pick this one. Henry Phillips said, this episode was a bit triggering because I am a serial ghoster.
Damn.
In respect that start talking to a guy and we mutually are into each other, but then out of nowhere, I just ghost when things start to get serious. The more I reflected, I realized that all the petty excuses I made as to why I didn't want to date each guy were superficial things that were deal breakers based on how other people view me as a gay man based on who I date. It made me realize that I have internalized homophobia that I still haven't worked through.
Wow.
In a moment of honesty, I realized I need more self-love so I can give myself the permission to love and stop ghosting out of fear.
Damn.
And I was like, wow, because that is not an angle that we touched on
at all.
We only focused on people ghosting because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't know how to deal with confrontation, or they're just over it, or they're just assholes. But what about people that genuinely just have a fear of commitment or a fear of, like Henry said, his internalized homophobia that he still hasn't worked through, and the perception of people around them, how they view your relationships. That's a lot of layers, you know
ghosting
what I mean?
Friends, so ghosting in business.
You know, so I thought that comment was like, ah, I wish we would have touched on that. Right. Yeah, and ghosting on business, which me and Dustin were sharing earlier. Brands that have promised to do certain things with us and then ghosted us when it came to contract time.
Promising. Looked around and checked to see if I had on deodorant. Like, was it something I did? You know?
Where did we all go wrong?
Wait, and actually the last one, EXO Misha on SoundCloud as well said, I got ghosted in 2011 by one of my ex-girlfriends. We had a disagreement on the phone before one of my classes, and she told me to call her after. I called her after, and I still haven't talked to her, asshole.
You need to let that go.
That one is crazy, though.
Damn. I mean, that is fucked up, but
golly. How you say?
Call me after.
But this was in 2011. What? They still haven't spoken.
Wow.
Misha, I feel you, girl. Wow. It's all right. Dustin.
I tell you who don't feel her.
You stop.
Since Meanie. like them, like a brand. You know how like them sweatshirts will say like the name of the brand since, and then like the year since 2011.
EST 1990.
Since 2011.
And I wonder, maybe her girlfriend ghosted her because she just didn't want to deal with drama.
Maybe.
I don't like arguing. But nobody does. I wouldn't ghost you. That's a lot.
In fact, I don't like arguing so much that I will get into an argument with you because you want to argue with me. Now, what kind of sense does that shit make?
Because sometimes it's more trouble to fix it.
Yeah, so let's just go on and get into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget it. Okay.
What about you, Dustin? What'd you find in these streets?
In these streets. Rochelle Pharrell.
You heard it.
I'm like, where are you taking this?
You know, I want to do a little something different.
And we did. I would like to give a shout out to, I like it when the people catch like the jokes that go kind of under the radar on the show. Mm-hmm. So like shout out to just K-A-B-R-I-I, because I don't want to disrespect your name. So that's how it's spelled. But shout out to you who tweeted, I just now heard, look at Dustin say, Minnie's mama look like an evil, worldly Tamala man. And she just got the joke, like, after all this time. So shout out to her. That was hilarious. I want to give a shout out to Taken and Sarah, who I don't know if everybody knows, but like, they're one of my favorite groups in the world. I'm a huge Taken and Sarah fan, and this is actually the 10th anniversary of their album, The Kind, which was like one of my favorite albums of all time, and they're going on tour, so they'll be in New York. I'm clearly going to try to go, and I just want to give a shout out to them because I can't believe that album has been out for 10 years, which means that my progressive musical journey has been, you know, longer than 10 years, because that was outside of the box. They wasn't listening to that where I was at.
We have so many concerts to go to this summer, you guys.
So many.
It's going to be lit.
I want to give a shout out to a friend of the show. It's Kerry. Y'all know he tweets something every week that's worthy of the tweets. This was his message.
We need to start Kerry's Corner, actually.
For real.
Because I feel like I could pull something up.
I mean, in this week's edition of Kerry's Corner, he had a message for, now y'all know Tinashe was in the news this week.
Oh my gosh.
About some comments about colorism that she made.
Yeah, someone was saying we needed to talk about
that. They had a whole conversation on the read about that without me, and I made both them niggas listen to her.
Tinashe.
I read the article, though.
What did you think? I didn't read it in context.
Never mind.
But what do you think, though? Like, what do you think?
To be honest, I feel like it was blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. I saw what she said, it was out of context.
And maybe I need to reread it or something, or maybe I didn't read it in its entirety, because I'm like, where are people getting the way she's being attacked?
Right.
I feel like I misread.
Wendy,
I didn't see what she was saying.
Wendy was talking about her, and she just talked, like Tinashe said, it's a Beyonce Rihanna world. She didn't say, I can't win because of them.
And she's
Wendy,
right, it is a Beyonce.
And Wendy
Rihanna
reported
world.
That shit like she said, I can't win because of them. And I'm like, she didn't say that.
That's the scary part.
Everybody
but I feel
was
like
up
Tinashe gets attacked a lot, though.
Very much
for
so.
For whatever reason.
Because.
Here you go.
I mean, y'all know why. You know what I'm saying?
That's how you get popping, unfortunately.
I wasn't a Tinashe fan, and I was very vocal about that. But then I heard her Amethyst mixtape, and it changed it all for me. I talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Y'all know that. So I've been rooting for her for a while. And I really like her Night Ride album. Her last album was good to me. But, like, I don't know, people just didn't catch on. And where she messed up was she talked about the fact that she felt like the black community didn't fully accept her, mm-hmm. and the white, you know, audience fully didn't accept her, and she wasn't black enough, white enough, whatever. You know, some things like points that have already been made 20,000 times over. Your little voice saying it ain't gonna do no good.
Not your little
sometimes
voice.
Like, you need to just skip over that. Talk about your music. Talk about something else. Don't talk about the fact that people aren't buying it. Nobody's going to read an article like that and
it's
be moved
victimized.
To purchase your music.
Right. She's very Wale.
Like, come on. Nobody, like, what is that? So anyway.
That
so
I agree with.
When she made that comment about black people not supporting her music, Carrie decided to tweet this video. He said it's a message for Tinashe. And I want you guys to listen to it. Hold on.
Thank you.
that was Carrie's message for Tinashe. It was a clip from season 2 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta when NeNe and Kim got into an argument over the Tardy for the Party single, and NeNe told Kim,
Thank you
for the song. We are going to buy it. Good luck. that was his message.
Before you move on, I want to pick a tweet out of Carrie's corner.
Come on.
Carrie posted a picture.
Yeah, I'm dead.
Because, you know,
I feel like I need to get one too.
I love his music. Hold on now. I loved this track, all right? Bobby Valentino had that anonymous track. It was that Timbaland produced. And so Carrie posted it, right? Bobby V Anonymous, because it was the jam. And
Bobby
then,
V had it.
And then he
okay.
posted this.
No.
He posted Mama Joyce right next to it.
In disguise.
In disguise. When she was showing up to Phaedra's office to threaten her. So that's what I have here over Carrie's corner. Anything else over there in these streets?
Yes. So I also want to give a shout out to at Tag Your Heathen, who tweeted a really cool picture with the quote, "It's just a phase." And it's a picture of two white gay guys at a pride march that had to be like, ooh, Lord. Oh, well, it says 93. Well, it says Z93. So that's either a radio station, but it damn well could be the year looking at this picture. And then it's a picture of them niggas today in the same exact pose, and they mad old now. But, like, it just shows that it's like they still together. Talking about it's just a phase. So that's the gay tweet for me this week.
Yes, salt and pepper beard.
And there actually is one more tweet in Carrie's corner. Carrie, we back in Carrie's corner.
Carrie's corner.
He said, me, every time the Obamas tweet, and it's a gif of the scene from Set It Off when Jada Pinkett's character was looking out the window after Cleo got killed, and she was looking out the window sad and longing for, like, their relationship again. He said that's how he feels every time one of the Obamas tweets. So, yeah. So that's all we found in these streets this week. I'm ready to move on if y'all are.
Yeah.
You hear stuff?
Yes.
So let's jump into this week's topic, shall we?
Yes.
No.
So let's talk, this week let's talk about being petty.
Oh, okay. I could do that. Now this.
Your face lit up.
Now this
one.
I can do. Look, I got to fix the, you know, I got to get ready for this. All right.
So we have to remember that our show is global.
Yes.
Petty is not...
Petty all around the world.
No, you didn't. Petty is not, at least the way that we use it, is not, you know, in the dictionary. It's not easily found. I'm sure I could look it up in the Urban Dictionary.
It's not even easily executed.
Right. You know, so why don't one of you define how we use petty when we bring it up so that the world knows what we mean, at least in the case we're using it today.
How would I define pettiness or being the art
of
being petty? Being petty to me would mean, if I had to give it a definition, pettiness would be being petty would be the act of choosing the reaction to something that requires the least amount of discipline, the least amount of humility, the least amount of respect, the least amount of anything honorable or just or anything that will make you accountable. Being petty is doing something that is intentionally difficult, damaging, judgmental, insulting, rude, just making it hard for other people purposely and bringing note to or highlighting things that they would otherwise, you know, preferred to go under the radar, you know, being just doing something that you know is an adverse, you know, reaction or something that you know is going to get under another person's skin. That's being petty.
I looked up Urban Dictionary just because I feel like this site makes me laugh. And their definition of petty is a person who is purposefully childish with the intent of eliciting a reaction, making things, events, or actions that normal people dismiss as trivial or insignificant into excuses to be upset, uncooperative, childish, or stubborn.
Absolutely. Petty, the art / act of being a troll.
In real life.
What's a troll?
A troll is someone that controls situations.
Interesting.
I mean, I am a very petty person. I like to troll a lot of situations and people, like, in a very, I don't know. Like I said, there's an art to it, right? So different people hate different things. So being petty to me, like, if I'm being disrespectful, if I'm at the workplace, you can only get away with being so disrespectful. So in the act of being petty...
You know how to work your way around it.
I know how to work it and be seen.
Hello. Shout out to Cynthia Bailey.
So, like, when I have to think about how I troll people at work, I have to do it in a different manner than I would troll one on, say, the train, like a woman telling me to turn my music down. But the art of being petty for me is just, you know, ready for petty 2017. I tried to really shift the spirit of petty, but it's just something about relinquishing that control to people to have... reign over my emotions and actions and feel like they have something over me. And it is very childish, but I could be out here fighting or something, but instead I just choose to be petty.
But petty will lead you to a fight.
I was about to say, and sometimes, you know, petty can go into the fist, but...
Well, that was my question. Like, the question that I pose is, when does petty get old, though? Is there a time limit? Is there an expiration? When is it immature? Because petty's funny. We have our On a Petty Note segment. It's funny. Online, I feel like the pettiest tweets are the ones that get the biggest responses. Right. So I get the appeal. How about that? Exactly. I get the appeal. And even just when you're doing it with your friends, whether you're being petty in your head or in real life.
Your CEO.
like, I get it. But when is it childish? When should you grow up? Is it something that you should at some point start to put aside and be like, I shouldn't be petty anymore? Or do you think being petty is just something that just is what it is?
It's just
and it
emotion.
Depends on the situation. What do you guys think?
It's just another emotion for me. I have, like I said, I had been trying to shed the spirit of petty, but it just comes up so much. And as I look back, there are just so many situations in my childhood where my mom was petty. And, like, I'm sure she... I'm not saying she was petty without... You know, out of bounds. She was always rightfully petty. And so when I'm petty in a lot of situations, even though it is childish, like, as hell, I still be feeling justified. Because I'm like, well, my mom was petty. Like, petty has been a thing forever. When you really think about the shit that you grew up on and to see your mama and daddy arguing about stuff, or your mama cursing out the people at school, or your daddy cursing out the mailman or something. These were all situations that could have been petty because they didn't have to be doing that. So it's like at some point they could have been like, oh, well, I'm going to just stop being petty as I got older. No, they grew into their petty. So I think petty is just another emotion or feel, and it comes up where it comes up. Now, it can be too much depending on how petty you are in certain degrees of your life. So if you're at work and you know you can't be a certain type of petty, but you crossing the lines anyway, it ain't petty no more. It's at that point, you just out of bounds.
Right.
But I guess petty is always teetering on out of bounds anyway. So that's why I like to say I'm playfully petty. But that's just the kind of troll that I am, too.
What do you think, Dustin? Sir Dustin?
Let's break this shit down like a pound, like Cash Dow said.
Break it down. Oh, come on.
Now, being petty, right? Being petty is immature, period, in its nature, period. Mm-hmm. Pettiness is immature. So you're already taking an L when you're being petty, right? That's why you actually made a good point when you referenced how the things that you recognize, you know, your mom or dad did that were petty, you said they were rightfully petty, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how you have your dignity when it comes to pettiness. For me, now this does not everybody else's rules. This is just how I manage my shit. I'm only petty as a reaction to something else, right? There's there's different types of petty too. let's highlight that. Like there's lazy petty and then there's savvy, sophisticated, finessed pettiness, right? Like it's very easy to be disrespectful, petty. To be rude.
Not that petty.
It's very easy to be disrespectful, to be rude, whatever, you know, cuss at people, you know, whatever. But true pettiness is all about the after effect or the ripples in the ocean after you've thrown your petty pebble. So I prefer pettiness that is creatively advanced, shall we say. So like it doesn't have to be insulting. It can just be something that's going to have a long lasting effect, something you'll never forget. That's why like Tamar Braxton calling Toya Wright paperback Toya, it was brilliant because it completely trivialized something that Toya used to legitimize her fame or her visibility. You know, she was known for being Lil Wayne's ex-wife and having a daughter with him, and that was pretty much it. And she was beautiful, and so we wanted to know more, but it really wasn't no, you know, gas in the tank. And then she started writing those books, and it, you know, made her existence substantive to some extent. And so it's something she can be extremely proud of. It legitimizes her. It gives her a seat at certain tables, you know? So for Tamar to immediately just, you know...
But how is that shade? Paperback
Toya. Because I just told you.
Paperback is good.
But it ain't hardcover. And so that's the thing. So it's like,
you wrote it, but $23.95.
You know.
When was the last time you bought a hardcover book?
You know, I'll be on the train. I don't like hardcover, you know.
Nobody buys hardcover unless you're in college.
But that's just an example is what I'm saying. So, like, I think that it should be reserved for something that you do as a reaction. Now, it's very lazy, right? And it is regressive to just not even try to do the right thing or be mature. So to me, you should like make decisions, I guess, based on you knowing better and trying to be a good person. And you should reserve your pettiness for when it's, you know, time. When somebody does something to you that you didn't, you know, warrant or whatever, and you have to respond in a way that they'll remember.
So yours is based on reaction.
Absolutely. Yes.
So you wouldn't be petty just to do it.
No, unless the person had already done something to me. And right. It was like on the books. You know what I'm saying?
Not on the books.
Then it's on forever, you know? Yeah.
So yours is a reaction. And then, but Asante feels like it's just a file to choose from.
It's just emotions taking me over.
I don't want to be petty.
I don't want to be either. But there are certain situations that just come up. And I'm just like, it's... All right, autopilot, go ahead. Take destiny. And I just go ahead and I have to do something petty right quick.
What about you, friend?
I mean, I think, okay.
Petty
I think, a, what?
I said petty fence.
I think a lot of the times it's lazy. Mm-hmm. I think you're doing it to, like the Urban Dictionary said, to elicit a reaction, whether it's to make everyone laugh or to try to humble the person or humiliate the person, really. But a lot of the times, I don't really see how it fixes anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a problem that's like some kind of issue that is coming to light between you and somebody else. I don't see how you responding in a petty way is going
to
fix anything.
It's
unless you really
to.
Just don't
right.
care.
Yeah, it's not yeah, supposed right. to.
If you really don't care, then hey, more power to you. But for me, I just... I mean, I'll have, like, sometimes people, here's an example. Sometimes people will say stupid shit to me online, yeah. and I'll get a petty response in my head, but I won't write it because I don't see the point. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go back and forth with you because I just don't have the energy and I don't care. So why would I do that? You know what I mean?
Let me tell you.
Dustin.
Let me tell you.
I don't want to do that.
But didn't it feel good when the thought came in your head?
Sometimes it's funny as shit.
It felt good, didn't it? In your bones, in your flesh. You felt good. That's why.
I think it's normal. It pops up. But I feel like it's up to you whether you want to put that out there.
Or do the mature thing, right? And ignore that. And use your tools and shit.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It very much boils down to how petty you want to be in certain situations. And I think...
And for what, though?
Well, I was going to say, and then I think as time goes by, you might decide that it's not worth it anymore to do that. Like, you know, if you're one of those people that wants to just fight off rip a lot of the times, right? Like, you have to really control your anger, emotions, your ego. You have to see what that boils down to. Like, you know, it would be petty of me to whoop this person's ass, but at the end of the day, like, they ain't going to say shit else.
And so it's like, yeah, right. That was petty. But then after you've done that so often, you have to realize, like, all right, well, I'm whooping ass out here, but then I'm losing shit. So I'm not going to be this type of petty in the situation. I'm going to be another type of petty. And so you're just not petty anymore, I feel like. But there are still certain situations where I don't feel like I have fulfilled enough of my petty destiny. Because I'm very reactionary with my petty. Like, I try to really stay on my own lane a lot of the time. And then there's
yours be a reflex.
Because, you know, I'm real quiet and I just try not to bother anything. Not anybody, anything. I don't want to make waves when I walk into a room. I just want to walk in, get what I got to get done. I don't even like shopping. Go into the store, get what I got to get, go. That petty, like, when you take me out of my element, that's where the petty's like, I got this. Like, you can just stay where you at. I got this. And it's just autopilot.
That ain't true. He lying, y'all.
It is.
Asante,
you know it is.
Asante.
Loves
he is lying.
It.
I mean, when, now,
will,
listen, when
we
I get
be
into
sitting
petty,
somewhere, when I don't I give a damn. We can be, we gonna tell it.
Well, tell it. Let's
we
tell
can
it.
Be somewhere.
Look how you're smiling. Good, you
everything
know.
Is fine.
When I'm in the element of petty.
Things are fine. He is not affected. Like, we just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Asante will be like, he will point out something and usually draw from a reference, something he knows that I'll remember or something that he knows that I know of. He'll offer some sort of context and boom, that's what starts it. And then it's just the floodgates are open and the pettiness ensues. So it's not
I like
always.
How he gonna tell people I be starting.
It's the truth. So it's not, you know
is
what I'm
it
saying?
All of it? You
that
know what?
Is the
See,
whole truth.
That was the petty about to just take over. You heard me? Is it all up? Like I was about to go.
I mean, it's the truth. So.
See, for me, I'm results oriented. So yeah. That's always the question that pops up in my head. Where is this petty going to take me right now?
It's never.
And is it worth it?
Ever. Supposed to take you to resolve, to resolution,
ever.
To betterment.
Which
nothing.
Is why it doesn't fit yeah. my schedule.
And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Friend, I have wasted my own time for years in different arenas. So then I guess it's somewhere down the road, I just said, it's okay. You have already wasted this much time, so what's a couple more seconds or a few more words at this, you know? And it's like,
but why? Then you keep doing that.
I know, it's a cycle. I told you I've been trying to break
get
it,
get off the hamster
but
wheel.
Sometimes it's minimized and sometimes it's just like a application running in the background, and other times the window, it's just half the screen.
I do think that sometimes right now that people have popularized this word petty, or this, you know, theory of people actually being petty. Mm-hmm. I do think some people have used that as like a crutch or as a platform to be like snarky
totally.
In general mm-hmm. or just be anti or standoffish and then justify that behavior. But that's not true pettiness. That's laziness, and it's something that it's like
that's
completely transparent.
Yeah.
You know that that's what it is when they say I'm petty, or you know, no, you're not. You're just antisocial and you mad because ain't nobody coming over here asking you what your name is, and so now I wasn't no niggas at the club tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like that's you know that them.
You are funny.
That's what that is. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So you know.
Well, and I think that kind of ties into my next point when we ask. When does it get tight?
Am I lying? Am I lying?
I can't even take it right
am
now.
Am I lying?
No, you're right.
Thank you.
You're onto something there.
I'm telling you.
But that goes into my next point. Mm-hmm. When does it become immature? When does it show that you are not dealing with something?
When
you
it
know
is
what I mean?
Not
There's something
warranted.
You're not dealing with.
When it's not warranted. Now, pettiness, like I referred to it with me and Asante being in different rooms and laughing at shit, that's lighthearted, good-natured fun, and that's us literally being petty, being
right.
immature, instead of focusing on whatever we're there for or whatever.
Right.
But then you have people who are intentionally like mean and mean-spirited, and they seek out opportunities to be hurtful and nasty when it's unprovoked or when it's just not no reason for them to have that sort of attitude, and that's when it becomes, okay, this is no longer petty, you're a sucky person, like you're rude and disrespectful.
Right.
And it's unnecessary. That's not petty. That's why people need to leave it alone and leave it to the people who know what they're doing. But I blame the internet for that, because the internet made
yes.
everybody think they're a star and have an opinion
but
and something to say.
Petty.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, when there's a responsibility you have, the best type of pettiness is intellectual pettiness. One of my favorite petty pioneers. We will call her as April, Reign of April on Twitter. Some of the best pettiness you have ever seen in your life. Like, that's good petty. So, I, you know, that's why I'm just not interested in, you know, the lazy, easy jokes. You know, I'm tired of...
The clapbacks. Yeah, it's just not...
And only... And with no... No, I don't know, just no skill, no wit, no wit, you know what I'm saying? No cleverness, like nothing. I just, it's just so lazy. I just such
But some people take it on as a persona too. Like, I know people that their entire brands are based on their pettiness. Right. You know what I mean? Their entire social persona and their interactions, and everyone has that person that they know that has like the muck face all the time, and it's like, oh no, you know, they're just like this. And it becomes, everyone around them has to almost like accept that they're like that.
That's no fun.
And I think that that's when it gets tired. Like, I get tired of people that are just, that just always have an attitude.
Yes.
And then we have to kind of work around it and be like, that's just them. And but when does that, like, is it just them, or is it that they're just not dealing with some shit? You know what I mean? Right. And I feel, I have a lot of cousins that are like that. Hey, if y'all listening, what's up? But, love y'all. But, no, you know, playing. You grow, right? You
that
grow
was good
up.
Petty, see?
But a lot of my family members, like, you know, and it's just like, I feel that, especially now, like you said, with the internet, it's really easy to use that as a persona. And I think it's getting really old.
And an excuse. Like, I don't just flat out say
to
people.
Oh, totally an excuse.
Like, I hate when people are like, sorry, I was just being petty. Like, I hate to be like, you were being, like, half the shit that I do is petty. Like, I know petty. This wasn't it. Like, but what... How do I benefit by saying I was being petty? This was petty.
So furthermore, what is that declaration going to accomplish? That ain't going to do nothing but make me want to get your ass back.
Well, no, so, you know, when people come to you and they're like, you know, I didn't mean to be petty to you before. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, you think that was petty? Like, I don't want to be that person to even be
right,
doing that
shit. Right,
let's
get petty. I didn't want to be petty to you before. So what happened? That's petty, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you don't know, even know what the hell they talking
right,
about.
Right, even that. And it's like, I hate that I'm that guy a lot of the time. But like I said, I've really been trying to shed a lot of these layers. But some of it, I don't just wear that on my sleeve. Because some people were like, yeah, you know, such and such is so petty. And people think that shit's cute. I don't think that it's cute for me to be petty. Like, for me, it's enjoyable. But it's some shit that is, like, not okay in the long run. Because that petty, like I said, it was a process. It came down from a lot of anger and pent-up shit. But some people that just beef up, they're a little petty, they're going to get their asses whooped one day because they're not petty for real.
Furthermore, especially when it comes to like public perception and stuff, you have to establish a relationship with like your audience. People have to believe in you. So if they don't think that you're like a just person in the first place, or they don't think that like you're good natured in general, you know what I'm saying? Then your pettiness is not even going to be something that's attractive to anybody. People that are public, you know, public personalities and people that are visible, when they're petty, it's only something that we enjoy because we know why they did that and we agree, like, yeah, you're justified in that. They wronged you or whatever, or this person wasn't right. We get why you're doing that. You can't just be a person out here spewing hateful shit and just being petty for the sake of being petty, because then that's going to make us get you.
Right.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and obviously that's the perspective I take with it, is just the quality of life that gives you.
Right. End up old looking in the face and shit. You look at Wendy Williams. I hate to say it, but look at Wendy Williams. For real,
y'all.
You know
what, though? She's a good example. Even though she is successful, like, as far as status, quote unquote, and materials and this and that. But then look what happens when she starts talking about Wendy Williams and we're all laughing. No one can connect with her on an emotional level at this point because she's been so horrible.
And her boobs are in the way.
Can I give you a good example,
she's
too?
She's been so horrible.
Can you imagine hugging Wendy Williams?
Oh my god, her opinions of people, the things that she said, has been so dark and heavy and just negative, that then when she had that moment she was crying, even me, that I connect with everyone's feelings, and I'm always like, oh my god, I was like,
just a hard blink.
I didn't feel anything, and that's sad. You know, she's created that wall because that's what she's put out.
She
you can't even really connect with
wall.
Her on a human level at this point.
You know who I think about? K. Michelle.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know how when she cursed me out or whatever, people thought she was being petty because the blogs were talking about her?
Mm-hmm.
It what would have been petty was you not saying, you're African from Africa with that afro on your head or whatever that shit was. It was like, why would you, as a black woman, with this...
That's what she said?
Yes, with this mermaid weave in your head, say some shit like that. That's not petty. Like, that's just stupid. You sound like an idiot up there.
Right.
And that's why people were clowning her for so damn long. And now she's sitting up here with the whole new face, fillers and
that's
shit.
That's just anti-black like shit.
I mean, that's also why she got... I mean, if you really want to be... You know, karma is the pettiest one of them all, right?
Hey.
And so I was there that night when she cussed Asante out, and when she referenced your hair, she was trying to reference your hair as in, like, you are black, you're supposed to be on her side.
Right.
But she was being petty, and she used that as an opportunity to try to make fun of his hair.
Like, she thought she was going to be petty, right?
And so that's cool. Everybody got a good laugh, whatever. So we ain't forgot, and here we are. How many years later? That was probably 5 years ago.
I don't know. That video just comes up.
That was about 5 years ago. But here we are 5 years later. She's been on TV and literally gotten her wig snatched off and her braids were nappy and gray in front of everybody on national television. On her television show, and guess what? I'm telling you, petty karma, that's the petty one. Not only did she get her wig snatched off, literally, not in theory or, you know, the gay way, she literally got her wig snatched off on national television in the moment where she was in a confrontation being outed for having lesbian sex while she has a male fiance. All these things that she didn't really, really want to, like, face publicly, the girl called him out, snatched the wig out, and her braids was nappy and they were gray. On a show called K. Michelle, My Life.
Wow.
Now, that's petty. So, God didn't gave it all back to her. I wouldn't feel no kind of way if I was you.
I never did. I said petty would have really been me getting her, but I actually didn't care about what the fuck she was talking about. Like, girl, you mad at a website about some shit? Like, come on. The internet? The internet always gets shit fucked up.
I view petty on the spectrum the same as I view people who are too nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like polar opposites of each other, right? It's a polarity. Both are looking for validation from people. Mm. Whether it's you trying to elicit a laugh or people being like, you so stupid, you so funny, or the really nice person who just wants to be liked. But both come from you trying to have people like you for something that clearly isn't really you, but it's something you can just turn on to elicit a reaction. So I think, because one thing I'm learning, even with like being really nice, is that it doesn't mean, with petty, it doesn't mean that you should like let people walk all over you and always be the bigger person. Because I think what gets blurry is, when should you be the bigger person and not say anything?
Right.
Ever? Always? Does petty mean that you're supposed to just like shut up when someone disrespects you?
Not if it's a kid.
Well, I mean, that's different. But if you're like, you know, and the same thing with being too nice, it doesn't mean that you should always hide under this guise of, I'm just being the bigger person. You know what I mean? I don't deal with confrontation. And I think what works, what is this leg cross? What works is finding the middle ground of both sides. You know what I mean? You don't have to be petty. You can check someone without being petty. And I think that that's something that gets lost in translation, especially online and just with people taking on that persona. And even with being too nice, it doesn't mean that you should never check someone. You can totally check someone and still be a really nice person. I do it all the time.
The best kind.
Right. So I think it's a balance. It's a balance that we're all kind of like trying to figure out.
Yeah. I like this. I like where you're going. Yep, it's a balance I'm trying to figure out.
No, but legit, it is. It is. You know what I mean?
It feels like it. That's why I was like, I don't know if it's like an emotion, there's an autopilot that comes on.
Yeah.
It's the journey.
But I love comparing it to someone that's really nice, because in my mind, I really think it's the same shit. You're both just putting on at the
end
of the day.
Right, don't be all nice to me. Shit.
You know, and then, so here's my question. When are you the bigger person, though? When do you...
After Chipotle.
I was going to say, at the end of Crab Fest. Okay.
When do you tuck in your petty? When do you choose to tuck it in and not lash out?
With family. Is there ever a time? With my family and with my friends. Not, I shouldn't say that because I don't be feeling like I have to with my friends. With my family, yeah, I have to. But not with my family, that's my friends. Like with my other family, that's not my friends. With right. them, just because they're my family and I don't want to be disrespectful. And with old people, just keeping it 100, like old people will really push you to the limit. But sometimes, like, who gone? Like Nene said on The Celebrity Apprentice, I'll never forget. She said, you can't, she was talking about Dionne Warwick. And she said, you know, you can't argue with a woman who's 70 years old because it just don't look right. And that's literally the truth. You, like, you can't. Like, so those are areas where you show restraint.
That is too funny. What about you? When do you show restraint?
So you remember, like, forever ago when we talked about having the representative?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think my representative is the one that tries to rein in the petty. Like, when I'm in situations where I feel like I have to have extra manners. Like, if I'm meeting someone's family or they live with people that I don't care about and I'm just trying to, like, pretend that I do, I, like, rein in the petty. Because there are tons of times where I could just be saying shit and I just try to be like, no, don't be petty. But even that note feels petty, and I start to smile, and people are like, why are you smiling? And it's like the petty's coming out of my face. It like oozes out. But
you are so funny.
Yeah, because you know you
see
me.
You
see me like just start to smile out of nowhere. And like sometimes it's due to petty, and I try to rein that in. But I really want to rein it in a whole different kind of way. Like it just not even pop up in my system.
Oh, if you can forget that shit, it's like riding a bike. Hell yeah. Come right back to you. Boom. People be going to church like, oh, I done found the Lord. And you know what I'm saying? They be off the grid. They get off Facebook for about 6 months. And you know what I'm saying? Like, but they don't post online. Next thing you know, they be right back. My birthday coming up. And you see them with money on their shirt doing the ass to the back and looking over the shoulder pose. They right back being petty. It only lasts so long. You can try. But you are who you are. And so the work, right, is finding the balance and knowing when to say when. And also applying it to do good. You can do good with pettiness sometimes. You can. You can do good.
Give us an example.
On a petty note.
I'm telling you, on a petty note, right? Say you finna quit your job, right? This is for all the...
I was ready. I already knew.
This is for all of the executive assistants out there, all the administrative admin, you know, administrative assistants. It's for all of y'all. Say you about to quit, right? You have access to your boss's card, all these things, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, some money left in the budget that they're trying to hide off to the side so that the bonus can be fatter. Give it all to charity. Give it to charity. You quitting that job? Run that car. Go donate to some charities. Help out some boys' homes, some kid boys, girls club, kids. Always give money to kids. Spend all their money up. Give it to charity.
And
that's
a good
petty.
One. Start free trials for things. That way, after you've left in 30 minutes,
that
30
bill
days
will start.
Out,
mm-hmm.
30 days out, they get billed for something. They're like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. And it's a bitch for them to get it taken off.
Make sure something they like that you told was free, too. Like, oh, they just sent us this shit? Look at this. I knew you was going to like this. And look, they didn't send these ones, too? Or, like, get the whole thing so that they can really use it. And then they feel like they got to pay them bills.
See,
that's how you get
it. You see how it just taps in, right? You see how I was ready to participate?
Petty.
But I think, okay. Mm-hmm. So, but how should people start? Don't you think people should start confronting? Like, let's use Asante as an example. When you think to the moments that kick up the pettiness, right? You're laughing because you're like, how many? One?
Look.
When you think of the moments that kick up for you, isn't it because there's something emotional that you're not, that you could, how do I word? I'm like trying to word it.
Because you're being friend. And you're looking for the good in everything. And that's why I love you with all of my heart. But it ain't none here. Like, friend,
it ain't none here.
You can't, it ain't gonna touch, baby. The ends ain't gonna meet.
The pieces ain't gonna hit.
No, because it's petty. There's no good in it. This is the black cloud. Okay.
There's nothing good.
No, it's not looking for the good, but I think that they're like, I'm thinking of the people I know that are petty. Mm-hmm. It's always like you said, even them being antisocial, it's because they don't know how to deal in social settings.
Right.
Even in relationships, they don't know how to deal with confrontation.
I don't know how to. I was just
even
about
in
to
relationships,
say.
They don't know how to deal with X, Y. It always goes back to something you don't know how to deal with. So you put on this funny mask of pettiness because it gets you out. It's a out of jail card. That's how I view it. And so I think if you can look back, Asante, he agrees.
Absolutely.
If you can look back to the situations where it kicks up, it's usually something that made you uncomfortable. You just didn't want to deal with it. And this was your get out of jail free card.
I'm definitely not great at confrontation. That's why that's why I went from like aggression to just pettiness, right? Like, you know.
It's funnier and it's easier.
Well, no, it's just fighting with your fists to fight with your words. And it's funnier. It's funnier because now I'm not sore and your feelings is hurt because I've moved you out of character. Right. So you're right. It's like, as opposed to just being a resolving a conflict, sometimes I'm just kicking up the dust more.
Yeah, but you gotta be, it's a responsibility come with being petty. Now you gotta be able to back that shit up.
Because
pettiness, you know what I'm saying, will lead you to a fist fight. If you good at it, they gonna wanna kick your ass, okay? So you gotta be. This ain't no get out of jail ticket for the fight. Now, this is actually, you know, a fast pass to the fight.
Awful story.
So just be ready.
Global entry right here.
Yeah,
it's for real.
So if you wanna talk about petty, long, long time ago, me and some friends were at the cafeteria. Mm. I mean, the community center, many moons ago, and it's the gayest community center BBQs. It was the gayest BBQs in New York.
People, he's talking about Dallas BBQs on 23rd and 8th in Chelsea. I called it the community center.
Everybody called it the community center.
All of the, you know who be there.
I'm dead.
So all these people, all
I'm
of...
you thinking he's really talking about a center.
Look, all the gays are at the community center, and out of all the gays, there's this table of, like, women and men. And they are, like, laughing, having a cackle when I walked by. And I'm like, what the fuck is so funny? And they're just, like, laughing. And the girl's rolling her eyes and everything. And I forgot what the guy said to me. And I just said something like, that's okay. I'll see you on A4A later or something. Like, I made a gay joke. And he got so up and out of arms by that shit. Like, to the point to where I went, used the bathroom like it was nothing. Came, went back to my table. And some of the girls from that table and the dude, like, came over to our table trying to start a fight behind just that little petty statement that I made. Like, cops were called, like, the whole nine.
Oh, my God.
And so I had to say to myself, like, wow, that's power. But I also had to say, like, like, damn, like, not to say that I should have been like, hey, bro, it's not cool that you're laughing at me when I, like, you know, I don't know what the fuck to say. In my mind,
you
like,
you should have been like, damn, nigga, your dick must have got hired. Why are you over here? Like, I must have been right.
Right, like, exactly. All sorts of shit just popped off from that. And I thought to myself, like, all it took was this one
that's
little piece
of when you get on
pain.
Your, That's when you get on your mini mama and throw them chicken wings on their ass. You had BBQs. And them sticky wings and BBQs, throw them all in this girlfriend hair, everything. Throw them all on them. Get them.
When was the time that, aside from
get
that one,
ass.
When was the time, was Dustin, that petty went wrong?
Went wrong?
Yes.
Oh. I can't tell that story on this show. I have to tell y'all later that one. But let me think. Went wrong or went there?
Went wrong. Or there. Whichever.
The story, when it went wrong, I literally cannot tell that story because it's like a... It's
bad?
A very adult story, so I can't tell. I can't tell that story.
I have to leave some deets out of my story.
But went there. Yeah, I mean, you know. I told you my shit is based on a reaction anyway, so 9 times out of 10, I'm the staple singers. I'll take you there. That's why I'm being petty in the first place. So really every time.
Oh.
But I can tell you one time when being petty went right.
Okay.
How about that?
Let's do the positive.
Positive. So long story short.
You still falling for it.
I was on Twitter one day, and this was right when the Wiz... I've told this story before on the show, so whatever. Me and Cleverly Chloe on Twitter, we actually met in a Twitter argument. I was being petty because she was petty first.
Oh.
And so I got her ass back, and then she went to argue, and so everybody was in. My men just like, no, she's cool. And we had like some mutual friends, and they actually brought us... it actually brought us to resolution. Being petty. There is a... Here we go, friend.
You got her.
You got her.
It did. There we go, right there. This actually brought us to resolution, and we are friends to this day. Like, she'd be at my birthday parties and stuff. We like friends. Like, yeah. And but it started from us having a petty-ass argument on Twitter.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
But you guys both have, I think, a strong sense of humor. So, yeah. So you were able to let it go.
We were able to laugh it off because, you know, she got me, I got her, whatever. It was good.
And I think, because here's the thing, with friends, I actually think it's funny. Like, me and my friends would be petty with each other and we throw jabs about shit you know about each other. Obviously, not in front of, like, people. Right. But, and, you know, it's petty. Like, if someone says something about your relationship and you'd be like, and bring up something about theirs.
Okay, right. I'm like, now, what was said?
I know you're not talking weed.
Right, exactly. You know, that level of pettiness to me is fun, especially when you both can take it. Like, you and Chloe, you it worked because you can both take it.
You know,
and I think that makes a difference.
And I think that comes from my brother too. My brother used to fuck with me like nonstop growing up. He made me, you know, go back and forth with him verbally. And so, like, you know, I can handle it.
Well, okay. I guess what advice do you guys have for someone who has taken on the persona of petty? Does it, you know, should they just keep it rolling?
What happened to petty with a purpose? Wasn't that a thing?
That needs to be a mug.
I feel like some that was said somewhere. I don't know if we said it, if Kia said. Shout out to Kia over at Getting Grown, Kia and Jade, our sisters over there.
That's some good petty over there, too. That's a pettiness masterclass.
I'll never
forget. Fucking Jade and Kia. That's like petty mad.
That's hilarious.
Somebody was coming for Kia on Twitter, and she said, I don't give a crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery fuck. And I just said, you know what? That's the one. That's the one. I need that one. I need that to let people know you don't give a, okay? But petty with a purpose is what I leave people.
Like Iyanla. Petty with a purpose.
Absolutely, like it, just like Iyanla. What did she say when she sits down with people? She's like,
I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be some times when you're not going to like me. You ain't going to be able to stand me. But that's all right. You're going to want to fight me. But you can't beat me. I'm going to win. That's what she tells
Ayanli
people.
Ayanli is my... I'm going to start calling her that.
That's a cute little name.
That's her name now. Ayanli is like my little cute girl. Little...
That sounds like one of Kobe Bryant kids. Did he name that new baby Ayanli? Not Natalia, Gianna, and Ayanli.
My God.
What's that new little baby name? They got the cutest little baby. She's so precious.
Is it his marriage?
Ayanli.
Ayanli. She Ayanli is like Italia. On my shoulder.
That's a cute
like
name.
Like Bonnie Bella. Like Ayanli Bella.
I love it. I'm sorry, we going all off track, but I love a dope dealer baby girl name. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Dope dealer baby girl.
Yes. Ayanli be on my shoulder talking about petty with a purpose. She be looking at me, I'm like, I'm not going to be petty today. And she gives me that speech right there. Like, you're not going to like me. You're not going to beat me. I'm like, damn, Ayanli, why not?
No, and you pass her some gum because you're petty.
And then we just decide to be petty with the purpose. And the purpose usually is for my entertainment. You were talking about how people are doing, how they do it for laughs. I realize that I am petty for my entertainment.
To make yourself laugh.
Not to make myself laugh, but I find a lot of things entertaining. And instead of addressing them or like tackling them head on, I'm petty towards them. And I just am entertained by it as opposed to being an adult and tackling it the right way. Because sometimes I feel like I don't know if I'm, like when you get into it with certain people or you are petty towards certain people, not to say I feel like we're unevenly matched, but I feel like me trying to talk rationally might not work, so then I just decide to be petty. And I'm just petty with the purpose, because the purpose is at least you're entertained.
What advice do you have, Dustin?
I ain't got no advice. I'm telling y'all, I listen.
More so reflection than advice.
Y'all
honestly
know that I am.
I mean, I just got to be real. I just had to reflect on that more so than advise y'all. So take it how you want it and live it how you get it.
I'm transparent like stockings. So I'm going to keep it real over here. Like, I am not giving nobody any advice. I'm working on myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm just starting to see clearly now. The rain has gone. You know what I mean? And make better decisions and shit and really try. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I don't have any advice other than that. Just try to be a good person and, you know, save it for when it's worthwhile. That's the advice I can give you. Save it for when it's time and when it's worthwhile, because it's going to feel even better. So save it for then.
Absolutely. I will leave this advice. Because we've done it for this episode, if you yourself out there resonate and you feel like you're a petty person, sit back and wonder to yourself, why am I so petty? And if you feel like you are just out of line or out of order with your petty, really sit down and say, well, what the fuck am I doing? And try to work on being less petty or even compromise with yourself and be real, be a different type of petty.
and maybe something less, you know, like invasive or something. I don't know. Just really work on yourself realistically. I feel like people just be like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to stop being petty. And then they think that's what happens. And then they cursing out the bitch at Starbucks in the morning. And it's like you just started.
Put a pin in that, because that's actually what my wellness segment is going to be today. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is your advice, friend? What are you going to leave the people with?
Well, I agree that you should stick to your own pace. I think if you are in a petty spirit, then so be it. It's coming from somewhere. I think it's kicking up because of something. You know what I mean? And I think trying to front, like, I'm going to change my ways and then hella nice the next week.
New year,
it's
new
probably
year.
Not very realistic. Yeah. Like I said, it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum, and you're kind of going to go up and down the spectrum as the situations occur. And I think what I base pettiness or being nice or the bigger person or not being the bigger person is on the results I'm looking for out of each situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best advice you can give. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If I want something resolved, is petty going to take me there? No. So I know when to pull the card and when not to. Am I trying to make you laugh? Petty will be pulled. You know what I mean? So it depends. It depends what the situation is. Because sometimes, like you said, it can also be used as a comedic tool. I've been petty in situations where it was a little too serious, and I knew that my petty joke would make everyone laugh,
mm-hmm.
and make light of the situation and change the tone. Sometimes it works. So, but I think if you're petty as a persona, that's a little bit tired.
Yeah.
A little bit. Just
ain't nobody
a little
doing
bit.
That.
It's exhausting.
Especially if you're a pastor. One time I had went to this church in Detroit, and one of the guys that was with us had dreadlocks. And long story short, the pastor, he was one of the whinings, too. I don't care. I'm telling. He was one of the whinings, and he was a pastor in Detroit. I might as well tell the name of the church now, but I can't remember the name of it. Ain't that the joke?
Mm.
But it was one of the whinings, and he said something about people coming in, and they got hair down to their butts like girls. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah. That's what he said. We ain't even look gay like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm like, damn, like, how you going to start talking shit? You know what I'm saying? You supposed to be one of the whinings. No wonder. That's because the whinings ain't supposed to be preaching. They supposed to be singing. See, he didn't know his place. Okay? And so, but I'll never forget that. So, on a petty note, ha ha, there you go. And that's why B.B. Whinings left that amen comment on that Naked Boy page on Instagram.
What?
On a petty note.
What are you talking about?
On a petty note.
Rashida son.
What?
You heard that voice thing where somebody called Rashida Store talking about something.
Yeah, but that, yeah, but no.
That's
like in ninth grade.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm talking
about. They still calling about the boys being gay and stuff.
I'm talking about BB Winans leaving a comment on an Instagram picture.
It's still gay. It's still gay.
Well, let's move on.
Yes.
To this week's wellness segment.
Oh. Shout out to Mavis Staples, back in the throat.
In your teeth.
So that's why I told you to put a pin in it, Asante, because I like the advice.
Yeah,
take it out. I think the advice you were giving is good, because I wanted to turn this into a journal entry. I know it sounds funny because it's like petty is just silly and funny, but we have to remember there are people who their level of pettiness is actually holding them back.
Very true. Much so.
So that's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to those of you who are just funny with it, because that's fine. We all have it. But I'm talking about that friend of yours that always has that face. You can't take them anywhere because it turns into some kind of confrontation or a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to a point where you don't even when they call you, you kind of like don't pick up the phone as much because you know it's going to be some bullshit. You know what I mean? Like that friend.
So Phaedra Parks, this is for you.
And we ain't even covered petty and wrong. Never mind.
Petty and wrong.
Yeah, you know, people be petty.
Like
for no
loud
reason.
And wrong.
Yes. Somebody petty to you. And it's like, no, actually, you're wrong. What the fuck are you being petty for? And you got to let them have it.
I feel like that's the internet all the time. But I think, okay, so the journal entry, remember that we brought up the neuroplasticity article where it said that the biggest way to create change is when you create an environment around you,
mm-hmm.
that... I won't use the word positive, but it's one that you're thriving. Like when you feel good, you're doing things that make you feel good. You're interacting with your friends in a way that makes you feel good. We're all adults. We know when we're in a space where we're being assholes, and we know when we're in a space where we're feeling good. There's a very clear difference. And so if in neuroplasticity, it's telling you that that environment when you are feeling good is the only way to create change. Like I was thinking, I was saying on Twitter this week that what I'm most proud of right now, because my life is like really improving and things are getting better and like every cylinder, everything's being hit. And even now, like I'm thinking of with the tour and the ecosystem that's been created where Claude and Chuck, because they're doing what they love and they're so happy, they're able to make money in abundance where they can even fund a tour where I, because they funded it and I'm creating this thing out of my love for it, then we were able to add extra stops in Kingston.
Yes.
That stop, the money that we made in Kingston, we didn't keep it. We sold. We gave the proceeds to a charity org called E for Life, which we mentioned on last week's episode. Those proceeds are helping young women, you know, ages 15 to 25, 26 that are living with HIV and AIDS and helping them and their families. You see how it's an ecosystem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because we're all doing things that we love. And because we're doing things that we love, we're able to help. We're able to create change, not only in our lives, but the lives of people around us, complete strangers. I'll probably never meet those young girls in Jamaica, but I'm happy that my contribution trickling down from Claude and Chuck's contribution, which trickled down from the artists that gave them a chance, you know, and took a chance on them when they weren't famous or known as writers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm talking about, of creating an ecosystem in your life of just good energy. Does that mean that your life will always be good because you're good? No, life is hard. But it will give you a better chance of good things happening and you attracting better people and better situations. So I think it's just something to consider with the neuroplasticity article, which I still think we should do an episode on that. Just because I think it's such valuable information and I was able to resonate with it and see how it fit in my life. So if you are a petty person that's listening to this,
yes,
or if you feel like it's kicking up in you more than you'd like, I think what you should do is, and we've done this before with the gratitude. Remember, mm-hmm, we had the gratitude jars? I think it'd be really cute if you started readjusting and kind of shifting the way that you view your day. Instead of focusing on who pissed you off or who talked to you crazy or who looked at you crazy and blah, 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 try to focus on three things and either do it as soon as you wake up or do it when you go to sleep. Three things that happened to you today that were amazing. Three things that happened to you, because what happens is you'll train your brain to look at the good things about your day. And then the more you do that, and mind you, this is a daily practice. The more you do that, the more you'll notice that a lot of good things actually happen. You're probably just not giving your mind the room and space to focus on them because you have kind of trained your mind to focus on everything that's shitty about your day, which can happen. You know, a lot of us are exhausted, a lot of like tragedies, even with the internet right now is heavy information, all negative. So it's easy for us to feel like, oh, everything's shitty. But if you shift your focus on what's not shitty, and it could be the littlest thing, like, right, who smiled at you that made you feel good? Who said something really nice or looked at you nice? Or
the man at the deli gave me back $5 instead of one.
The man at the deli gave you $5. That's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, any little thing, you could have found a penny on the street. Like, try to count every little blessing in the smallest details to the biggest one, because what happens is you start shifting the momentum of good coming in your life. So that's just a little trick that I think you should try. It totally ties into the gratitude jar, which we've discussed, where you know, put in one good thing that happened to you every day into this jar, like write it in a note. And then at the end of the year, when you open it, you'll be like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
This is a really cute, oh my goodness. And you get to like read all the nice things that happened to you. You know what I mean? So, but if you don't want to do the gratitude jar, I think try for 30 days. They say it takes 21 days for change to happen in your life, right? For things to be restructured, for you to get used to things, for you to change habits. So let's try this for 30 days, though. Let's overextend ourselves. And the new, you hear me, the new year, the new month is coming up soon.
Yes.
What, in about a week and a half? So I think you should try it now.
Okay, what if I make a jar full of things, petty things that I could have said but didn't? So then at the end of the day, I can open up the jar and just laugh. Like, I can read all the little petty things that I didn't say.
I mean, that's cute too, a petty jar.
But I'll do it. Every time I'm about, you know what? And I'm going to just write it down and remember to put it in my petty jar.
And I think, too, what's cute, too, as a journal entry, aside from the gratitude or the good things or the petty jar to make yourself laugh, it's also, because I think for me, when people ask me, like, oh, how are you always so nice, or how you always choose to be the bigger person? Like I said, I'm results-oriented. So everything that I shift towards is based on the results. That's right. Why when people are like, well, what's your source for this and that arcing? I always say, I'm my source. I don't listen to anyone else. I'll take your advice, but then I have to put it, I have to apply it to see if it makes sense to me. So I feel like what has worked with not being petty is that it has not advanced me in any way. Whether it's how I engage with people online, the brands that I want to work with, the kind of life I'm trying to lead, the kind of change I'm trying to make, petty doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. You know what I mean? It doesn't fit the schedule. And that, like I said, that doesn't mean that it doesn't kick up. Of course it kicks up. I think it's human nature. But you have to decide what it is that you are trying to create, like what's the environment you're trying to create in your life, and then act accordingly.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Speak, think, live, breathe accordingly. And then that's how you create your reality, so to speak. So I think even with a journal entry, maybe you should write down 5 times that you held your petty and what the results were. 5 times that you didn't hold your petty and what the results were. And decide which results fit where you're trying to go. That's how you create a blueprint of where you need to be. So I wish I could see Asante's face.
Because you know where I'm trying to go. But then I think about where I'm trying to go.
Exactly. So just, you know, a couple of different... a couple of different ways to shift your day, shift your mind, your perspective, and how you're feeling. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. Support for this week's episode is brought to you by Third Love. When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G and half cup sizes. Oh. And that's Third Love. Third Love uses thousands of women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great. There's a perfect bra for everyone, and you can find yours in just seconds by answering a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder. And now you can try one of their best-selling bras free for 30 days. Just pay $2.99 for shipping, and one of Third Love's signature 24/7 bras is on its way to you. Cut the tags off, see how easily a perfect fitting bra fits into your life, wash it, wear it. You might even forget that it's on.
Ooh.
If your Third Love bra isn't your new favorite, you can always return or exchange it for free. So go to thirdlove.com/friend now to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/friend to try your new favorite bra for free. Now let's move on to Mr. Music, man. There's a lot of fucking new music. Mm. So I know you got a lot.
Wow, wow.
Speaking of wild thoughts.
Wow, wow.
Rihanna, Rihanna.
No, you didn't.
Well, 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 we're back again with another Music Man segment. To kick off this segment, I would like to say that I started a moment on Twitter that lists all of the playlists that I have put up on Twitter.
Oh, cute idea.
So the moment has literally every playlist that I have created on both platforms. Remember, a couple of the playlists are only available on Spotify and only on Apple Music. Those 2 or 3 I will not be reproducing. All of the other ones you should find in order on the moment on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter, at Hey Asante. It is pinned to my profile as a moment. With that said, let's just get into all this new music. Oh, actually, let's start with an icebreaker.
And I'm then, scared of these now.
What you mean? Like?
You put us in hot water last time.
Your friend did that.
Anyway, this one comes from the emails. Shout out to Amber. Don't forget, if you want to email us anything, as well as suggestions, a lot of you do send suggestions to the emails. I have been checking them. The email is thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. So Amber writes, XXL Freshman 2017 list, right? The new cover for the XXL Freshman list has come out, I was just wondering if you approve of who's on the cover, who do you think should have been on it, and who didn't you see who didn't you see it for that somehow made it? I wish No Name and Saba were on it, but there's quite a few on there that definitely belong. Peace, love, and blessings. So I was thinking maybe we could do a little bit of a remix to this. So you know who's on the cover?
Barely.
So the thing with for those of you who don't know what XXL is, it's a magazine, and every year they drop this list of rappers who, you know, are up and coming and should be the shit.
The freshman class.
The freshman class. I want to remix this icebreaker, and maybe instead of it just being rap oriented, it just being artist oriented. So let's pretend XXL just had the freshman class of music, or like the freshman class of summer jams, right? And like, just name two or three people you think should fit onto that.
She's not new, but I would love to have seen Cardi B.
Mm-hmm. Yo, Cardi B been fucking
love her.
It up.
She's so dope to me.
Bodak Yellow.
The jam, do you hear me?
Right. I think she's growing as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's putting in work visually, her style, her bars. I just like to see someone that's working on the craft. That to me just says something. So and I love her because she's
and she looks good and she loves touring. I feel like she loves going to perform.
Man, seeing how her life is changing is just awesome. So Cardi B, I'm like, who else is low key up and coming though?
Do you have one off the top of your head?
I got two off the top of my head. T Grizzly, a new rapper out of Detroit with a song that's blowing up all the clubs and just the streets, period, called First Day Out.
Oh, cute.
The jam, it sounds like Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares intro. It's that same kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And today I saw a tweet that he was actually doing a remix to it. So it's almost like we're going to get Dreams and Nightmares Part 2. It's Meek Mill rapping over the First Day Out beat by T Grizzly. So
dope. He's
getting a lot of shine, a lot of action right now. So he definitely should have been on there. And Cash Dial. Cash Dial should have been on the cover.
Cash Dial been out, no?
But Cash Dial is like really, really visible right now.
Oh, like blowing up.
Yeah, and she's still independent. Okay. And so like right now her visibility is at a point where she literally deserves, she opened up for Drake. Like she deserves to be on the XXL cover. She has a following, a dedicated following. So I was just surprised. I know she doesn't have a deal, and I'm not sure if T Grizzly is signed or not. And I think that that kind of plays into a part.
I don't think you have to be signed. Do you?
I don't know.
I don't
think
so.
I don't know.
Sabrina Claudio.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely feel like, yeah,
she's super sexy.
She's a nice contribution to the music scene. She should have been on it.
Riley Burris. Riley Burris, Candy Daughter. She should have been on the XXL freshman class.
I thought I was going to play it, but then I decided not to. You know who, like, if they ever did open it up to people other than rappers, and I'm always going to say this name.
Kylie Redd.
India Sean.
Oh, my God.
India Sean should just be on everyone's list. She shouldn't be on a freshman list, but she should just be on everyone's list.
Right.
Like, just forever.
And deserves it.
I saw her tweeting today. Somebody was shouting out India and James, that One Sun song, and they were like, how come this never blew? And I just want to shout you out, India, because you know I love you.
Oh, she's a good one. Who else? I don't know.
All the people that I want to name, nobody's going to really know. There's this kid named Berhana. I put him on a playlist a long time ago. It's Berhana. And he has a song called Grey Love, which people might be familiar with. But on that same project, there's a song called, it's called Janet. And he sings it a Mrs. Hubert, as in Janet Hubert.
It's a
really weird, but the song jams, and his videos look really cool, like him riding a bike in a white outfit, and then towards the end, they throw paint on each other. You know how I live for the black boys and the colors and all that?
Yeah.
Real Moonlight-esque, so.
Daniel Caesar.
Oh, Daniel Caesar.
I think he needs to have way more of a spotlight on his work, for sure. I saw him in a picture with Rick Rubin this week, so I'm like, ooh, I wonder what they're whipping up.
Somebody told me, Barry Gordy, well, his daughter, Barry Gordy and Diana Ross' daughter, Diana Ross' oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Rhonda Ross,
Rhonda,
right?
Yeah.
You know she do music. Somebody told me she was supposed to be on the XXL freshman cover and shit, but some like the politics or whatever. They ain't let her do it. But I heard Rhonda Ross was supposed to be on the XXL on the freshman list, you know.
Who you going to say next? Rachel.
That ain't right.
Think Rachel should be on the list too.
From Caribbean Rhythms.
The Rachel.
Oh, I used to love Rachel
she was
from
so
Caribbean
dope.
Rhythms.
Rachel.
She was so beautiful to me.
Oh my God.
Y'all is so random.
She was.
Yeah, I think that's it for me.
SZA obviously should be on there. If
oh,
that was a
yeah.
Thing.
Well, yeah. I think she's not up and coming, but yeah.
Well, this is like her first like project that
album,
people will see
right,
her as.
Right.
Like as the SZA.
Right. The SZA.
Even though she went on that tour forever ago with Janae, SZA was on a tour with Janae and the internet. You know how SZA is the internet
ooh,
too.
Like that's way a show, baby.
It was. I went with like Crystal. And you know what? This was forever
was it good?
Ago. Yes, and Fury hosted it. I remember this.
Are you kidding me?
This was a long time ago. I just
holy
remember.
Shit.
Man, that was a night.
They need to do that again.
Yo,
that's
word
a
up.
Perfect combination.
I mean, it was bomb. It was super bomb.
Wow.
So, I think SZA definitely should. She obviously deserves all the shine. That project, I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah, I like it.
You got
I finally
another...
got a chance to listen to it.
So what are some of your faves on it?
Well,
you still, I know you just love Drew Barrymore.
I
of
know,
course.
That's just my favorite. It hasn't changed.
I mean, there is nothing wrong
I
with
I do
that.
Love Supermodel more now, though. And, well, you keep talking because I got to look up the names. I don't remember off top.
Okay, so Supermodel definitely.
Well, The Weeknd is cool, but the message has me
that's
a little
be,
like,
look,
I don't know if
look,
I can sing
I love
this.
A good little sexy song, but it's just when she be saying some of the parts, I'd be like, this is some, like, hell no.
Like, she's telling him, I want more days. I'm
right.
Like
no,
this
bitch,
is just
I want
wrong.
All the days, okay?
I don't even though she explained it.
Right.
And it's not what I thought it was. Like, I thought she was just being trife. Like, I know you got a girl. I don't give a fuck. Like, one of those
and see,
girls. And that's
people,
why I was like, I can't connect
right.
to this.
I knew people were going to take it like that because that's exactly what happened, I feel like.
Because it's what it seems like.
Like, with Jasmine Sullivan, when she initially dropped that song, Mascara, and she was like, I got my hair and my ass fake, but so what? And people were like, damn, Jazzy came out a hole now. It's like no, like
if you would shut up and listen you would know.
But when she but before I heard The Weeknd when they were talking about The Breakfast Club, I'm like, damn, she had a whole song on there. But she was breaking it down, so I was like, oh okay,
yeah,
cool.
Her explanation was that the guy, she's not telling the guy like, I'm gonna take you from the other girl, is that no one belongs to anyone. She
and
doesn't belong
from both
to him
points of views.
He doesn't belong to her, the other girl doesn't. So she's saying we're all just like doing our thing and figuring out how to make it work. So in that case, cool. It changes the song. I can listen to it in peace. Because I was like, this song is some gutter snipe ass shit.
Yeah.
Like I could
look,
not connect.
I just know they're gonna play that on an episode of Love and Hip Hop.
Oh my God.
Look, all I need is a scene of Jocelyn walking down the street in slow motion to Stevie J.
Okay.
And then play The Weeknd.
I'm trying to see what other song. Yeah, I love the Supermodel. I still love Love Galore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her singles were perfect.
The Weeknd.
Drew Barrymore, Love Galore, and Broken Clocks are all perfect singles.
Normal Girl.
Yeah, 20-something is
that's
cool,
the one
too,
she
20-something
singing.
Is cool.
I guess it's hard to pick.
It's a solid effort,
it's
for
cohesive,
sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I still can't pick, like, a 2 or 3 or 5. Like, I'm like, the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because she just did so many different
but
fucking
things. But
Drew
Barrymore is still my favorite.
I want to see her sing Garden live.
Yes. And,
and I'm gonna.
I want to see
that Afro punk.
I want to see her and James perform fucking Wavy, and I want them to do the whole thing. Like I want them to be like, keep going.
Extended version.
Yes.
They should have like they should do a Wavy on the BET Awards and have like 100 niggas walk out with brush waves, brushing their hair. Like taking their durags off, brushing their hair, doing
Wavy.
Yeah, for the BET Awards. That's how you do the
look,
BET
that's
Awards.
That's
you
the
on to something.
Yeah.
She just has a bunch of fine ass niggas coming out, brushing their hair, chewing gum, walking, and then she just doing her little thing.
Or she can even have Tokyo make her a 360s wig, like a brush waves wig.
Need
Tokyo
no
can
hair.
Make any kind of hairstyle
for the guys.
He can.
She don't need no
Tokyo
more hair
can
on
make
her
sizzle. Let me SZA tell you how bad Tokyo Styles is. If Tokyo can give SZA,
if want Tokyo you to can stop give SZA right
some Christian combs, 360s, you know Puffy's son got waves. If she can give him, if Tokyo can make her a wig look like Puffy's son's hair, he bad, man.
Have you seen SZA's hair?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Tuck it under, braid it like you in jail.
Not
you
don't want nobody to try under. To fight
you. Braid it like you in jail.
Yeah, you don't want nobody to fight you because your hair long. You know they braid it and then tuck it under the bottom. It's real.
That was a lot of new music.
I mean, I
don't
keep
remember
up.
The last time when I pressed new releases and it was. I didn't wow, know where to start.
Wow, wow.
Right, let's start with Wild Thoughts.
Okay, Wild Thoughts has been playing every fucking where. DJ Khaled, Rihanna,
they got a
Bryson Tiller.
People
sampling
don't like Bryson Tiller on it. I've seen people asking for a version that's edited. I personally like him on it. I think he sounds great.
I think he sounds great too.
I think
it fits his tone. The delivery fits his tone.
And I feel like it fits his style of music, and it's a completely different way of doing it. Because he loves to do that sample vibey thing. So if he had that sample island vibe thing to go with it, like, Khaled should work with Bryson on some more stuff.
Agreed.
But I feel like Khaled works with a whole bunch of singing ass niggas anyway. Because you remember he did that song where he had Trey Songz and Chris Brown and August Alsina all on one track. I'm like, why do I have to do all this?
It sounded like a nursery. It sounded like the neonatal unit.
That's what it sounded like.
Everybody was whining. That's what it sounded like.
It didn't
like.
Do well. I really don't remember the song, to be honest.
I feel like it did well, but only because I feel like all Khaled songs always do really well. And then it's like, Khaled just got a bunch of tracks doing good.
Not a nursery.
I'm just not there. Wow, wow, wow.
And then,
damn.
Who else is there?
Hit the mouse. That should go onto the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Pharrell, Calvin Harris, and Big Sean have
yes.
a song together that I love. It's called Feels, yeah. right?
Feels.
It is such a good, especially because it's the first day of summer. I think this is that song where you lift up your window and just like dance around your house. Actually, it's too hot, so maybe not. Turn your AC on. Dance around your house, and it's such
all
a good song.
Up.
It's definitely a tie your t-shirt and a knot in the back song.
Yes, that's such a good way of describing it. Such a fun song. I totally love it. And even Katy Perry sounds good on it.
I was just about to tell Senior thinking like, huh, and then Catherine is on it too.
I was right. like, let me not be petty and leave her out of my description of it because it is a good song. I really enjoy it. I
dancing
think she sounds
like
great.
She dropped something. When Katy Perry be dancing, it's like she dropped something and she's trying to pick it up. You know how you ever drop something, you be like, you try to move down, trying to pick it up before it hit the floor.
God.
That's how I look when Katy Perry be dancing.
And then who else is there?
2 Chainz dropped that whole project.
2 Chainz. Hey. What is it? Pretty Girls Love Trap?
Pretty Girls Like Trap.
Like Trap.
I think that it was super dope with 2 Chainz, a.k.a., you know, formerly Titty Boy.
Hello.
Atlanta native, to drop this whole bomb-ass project and to do that damn pop-up in Atlanta.
My two favorites are the one with Sway Lee.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the one with Pharrell.
Yes.
Bylon.
Yes.
I don't remember what the one with Sway Lee is called.
And that's the one I was listening to on the train when the lady was asking me to turn my music down. Poor fool.
Poor fool.
Poor fool. Poor fool that lady was.
No,
I imitates like
dead.
Every time,
hello?
Don't it?
Look,
those
see,
are my two faves.
It would have been petty of me to say to that, to show the lady this is called Poor Fool, and that's you right
and just
now.
Just maximize it on
this
the
your song.
This one's for you, actually. I have to turn it up.
Yeah, it was good. I love the cover, the concept.
I love it.
The marketing. He's
I
on.
Love Trap Check. I
Trap
love when
Check.
That beat changes at the end of Trap Check. I love the song with him and Monica, Burglar Bombs.
The last,
or
oh,
Burglar.
The last
track
is
yeah,
bomb.
I love that.
I even like the OG Kush Diaries.
Oh, I love
track
that.
On there.
I love the whole
Rolls
album.
Rolls Royce, bitch. I just like shit like that.
Ooh.
So I love that. Also, Her dropped her volume 2.
Yeah,
who?
She did.
H-E-R, Her.
Who?
See, here we go with these names again. They, Her. I can't help you, sis. Like, Her, H-E-R.
Who?
Okay.
Well, Tamar?
So she dropped her volume 2. Tamar did drop some music, but
did
I did
she?
Not listen.
There, recently?
Well, she was on View. Oh, you know I watch View 103 on YouTube. And she was recently listening to doing
I saw
music.
That.
I didn't watch it. Okay, so can you spotlight? Was the music good? Anything we're talking about?
It wasn't about no music. It wasn't about no music. You know, I love Tamar. It wasn't about no music, though. I'll tell you about it then later.
Well, I will get it the info on that later, but mm-hmm. she did not actually drop no new music. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Tamar for me trying to promote what she didn't have.
She's been performing, though. She's been having a whole bunch of dates lined up. She's performing her ass off.
What is she performing?
All her hits. And she got a new song called My Man that she wrote about that lady stealing her mama husband.
I'm familiar with My Man. Mm-hmm. And when she played that song in the studio for her mama was like, well, it ain't really happened like that. Or, I was like, damn, why you gotta act like
she's
that?
She's still mad.
Nail his ass to the wall.
Iman Omari dropped a new song.
Oh, really?
Yes, you know I'm a huge fan of his.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and it's actually with Anna Wise, who is an artist that is low-key slept on. She's really dope. She's done a lot of work on Kendrick. She does all of the vocals.
That's the girl that sings on the Kendrick?
Anna Wise. Oh, yes. My God. Anytime you hear vocals on Kendrick, it's Anna Wise. I don't know why she hasn't blown up. She is amazing.
Yes,
definitely check out her own projects. But she has a song. Yeah, she has a song with Iman Omari called Move
Act
Too Fast.
The Feminine Act 2.
Yeah, so I love Iman Omari.
Her first track this is called Coconuts. I'm downloading it.
Yeah, and it's really good. Who else? Who else has stuff out?
Big Boy. Shout out to Big Boy's
album.
Yeah. I heard it's really good, too. I haven't listened yet. I just ain't had time.
This has been a lot of music, man.
It's just too much. Listen to Lord. I did listen to Lord.
Lord
now,
is out.
Now, I will say, I like the project, but and I hate to even be that guy, but it's just not the magic that their first album gave me.
Mm-mm. No?
No, not at all.
I guess you'll never be royals. Like, there was a whole thing that went in line with that, like Tennis Court, Buzz Cut Season, like
Tennis
all that
Court.
Album.
Oh, my God. Glory and Gore. I just felt that in my soul. I used to love
I mean, that
tennis
was
court
an
by
album
Lord.
For me. But the new one was, all right, it's cool. It's got some tracks on it. It didn't do for me what I, like, needed it to do.
Majee Jordan dropped a new song, too. So, missed so many people.
I only...
I like him.
He's
I
just the OVO filler for me. They all sound like about the same. Oh, actually, I do like that song. I saved that one because he's got... Who's on it?
On his... I don't know if it's a project. I think it might just be a song.
Yeah, it's a song.
Yeah. But I forget the one that I like that he did. I actually had it on one of my playlists for for Spotify, but... What was it called? Anyway, it'll
I just
come
know
to
they
me.
Got that blue ass cover, looking like little boy blue, and I just be like, look at this blue ass cover.
But yeah, a lot of new music.
Lots
a
of
lot
new
of
music
new music
this week.
I'm still listening to SZA, so
have fun.
Have fun.
I'm
with
going
all
back
the new
to Anderson .Paak.
I was listening to Anderson .Paak at Mo's house.
The Malibu project.
That's the one he was playing, and I was like wondering.
Parking Lot is y'all. If you don't know who Anderson .Paak is, go listen to the Malibu album and listen to Parking Lot. I don't know why Parking Lot has just been like my frequency. I've had it on repeat for like 3 days, my poor neighbor. It's just,
I was just asking why Anderson .Paak hasn't really like blown up. And Mo was like, he's too slow. And I was like, what do you mean? Because on that award show maybe a year or two ago, he was like there. He was playing the drums on something.
He's got lots
so
of personality
talented.
And stage presence, too.
Oh, my
too.
God. He's a firecracker on stage.
Like, I feel like he was just about to, like, really pop. He was even on that new K-Tronada, and people were really feeling him on
that. But he's touring, you know? I think that's what it is.
Oh, well, that's where your money is, so go ahead.
Yeah, but I think that's what gets tricky, because that Glowed Up record with K-Tronada is so good.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. God is so good. I was so actually listening to it on the train on the way here. But when you're touring, you still have to put stuff out.
Right.
You know, because I think you forget that, yeah, you're touring and seeing your fans in real time, but then the ones that are online that aren't on the tour with you or in the cities, to us, it just looks like you're not
right.
around. Like Miguel. Like, where's Miguel?
Oh, don't get me fucking started.
Where's Miguel? He could very well be touring. I actually have no idea. I'm sure he is because he's always touring. But for us, it's like he's been MIA.
Right.
For like, what, 2-3 years now? So I think it's the balance,
you know,
of like
to
touring
some
and putting
pass
stuff out.
By, okay.
She can stop letting her love adorn him now. Can you give him some breathing room so he can get back in the studio? Damn.
I love Miguel. Where you at? I'm sure he'll drop soon. I have a feeling.
I'm trying not to hold it against him, but I still want that Kiss It Better remix that he was supposed to do.
Maybe on the next album, it'll you know.
I just want Miguel, whenever he does drop, for it to be right. Like, I liked the last album. It took a while for me to really, like, get into it because he always puts out these, like, moments and pieces. So the last project was that, but it was so different from some of the other stuff he'd been doing.
Very, it's very
different.
Which was rock heavy. Very.
And which his other stuff was already different on its own. So for me, it was kind of like, all right, now you kind of going in a different lane, but backing away from me. Yeah. But then I had to really get into what the full story was of the project. And after that, I was like, okay, cool. So I will be patient and wait for him to come out as long as it's like a really good project. Like when SZA dropped her shit.
It'll be good. I have a feeling.
I loved Kaleidoscope Dreams so much. It's just so hard to top that. So I'm not even looking forward to.
Right. Like,
there were moments on his last album that were good. I just want more music. He makes great music. And shout out to Simple Things because that's one of my favorite songs of all time. Lyrical content, the melodies, everything.
The video.
Just the video. Oh.
So cute. I love Miguel. He's like my ideal artist. I think he's literally perfect.
He is. He's amazing.
Amazingly talented. Him and Anderson .Paak. Anderson to me is like if I had a label and I could pick my dream artist to represent my label, it would be Miguel, Anderson .Paak. Like I love like instrumentalists, writers that also have like electricity on stage, you know? Because that's a hard package to find, especially nowadays.
Did you listen to No Worries?
Yes, I liked it.
Anderson .Paak and Knowledge?
Yeah, Knowledge actually put something out this week, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
new mixtape. Yeah, I just saw the promo for it earlier. Yeah, it was really good.
See more stuff.
I love anything that they do together too.
Yeah.
It's really good. So much music therapy.
Yes. Well, that is it for the Music Man segment. I'm sure I'm forgetting 10 million things.
Literally, because there was so many more projects.
I'm just in Sizzle Land up until just don't pull me out.
Oh, wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Ray J and Chris Brown.
No, I didn't mean go ahead. I meant like, go ahead, Dustin, go ahead. Now we're going
Why
on
would
over
they
to,
do that? Like, why? You know how you just got through saying friend, you don't see how it adds to resolution or anything. Why would they put out a joint project, Ray J and Chris Brown?
A whole project.
And it's called Burn My Name, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Burn My Name.
Man, we can go a couple different ways with that. Like,
I'm
actually curious. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give it a chance.
Well, Ray J does have a song called Anytime on that Radiation album that I love.
And it's an album cut.
Ray J has had
some hits. He has.
I was afraid to say that word, but he's had good songs.
I'm only going to listen because people that put out these dual albums randomly do have some gems on there. Like, ain't nobody going to agree with this shit. On that stupid-ass Face Off album that Omarion and Bow Wow put out, people was front, but that Jump Off song, when it played in places at the skating rink, everybody was going off. Jump off, jump off, jump off. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is. But I listened to it, and there actually was a couple songs in there. I was like, wow,
we'll
who would have thought?
Let's all listen to it and report back next week.
Okay, I'm willing to
deal.
Do that.
And give it a chance.
Oh, I absolutely
listen
will.
With an open mind and open heart.
I'm
going
to smoke my good weed to it, okay, to give it a real good chance. And I'm sure that Christopher Maurice will be singing his ass off.
Yeah.
And Ray J, if you are listening, I do want a scooty bike.
Oh, I do too. Them Raytronics bikes. Absolutely. I want one.
I want one. Ray J, when you bring those to the East Coast and try to make that a thing in New York City,
we got you.
Like, the friends, aren't we here?
And they ain't going out of style like them hoverboards. They're going to stick around.
Absolutely. We should ride them into Afropunk on stage.
Oh my God, if we did the Scooty bikes at Afropunk,
that'd be so adorable.
Yes, it would.
Until you fall off the side.
I'm not falling. Well, let's go on ahead and take it on over to TV land. Dustin, what you got for us?
You know, this week we're going to switch it up. We don't ever want to get stagnant. So we're going to switch it up this week. I want to talk about American Gods. Have you guys been watching?
No.
What's that?
American Gods is a new series on Stars. Now, I don't know all the specifics, so you guys that are fans of the show, please don't get mad at me. I only watched 2 episodes, and if you watch the show and you listen to this show, then you know that was a lot for me. Now, the show is about these people that have these extraordinary powers and this whole whole underworld that exists, and they're literally like modern day American gods. Like there's this black lady, I can't remember how to pronounce her name, and maybe Bilquis, something like that, Marquise. Shakisha, I don't know, but she's the goddess of love, and so she has these sexual partners, and that's how they feed like her soul.
Oh my god!
And they don't come out.
Oh,
they go in, but
she's a man eater.
Oh shit! I'm thinking you.
She's actually
like
a people eater. If we just gonna put it like that.
Oh, so it's but anybody?
These niggas for everybody. But American Gods is good. And the reason, one of my friends told me to watch it, and so I watched it.
How far in is it?
I made it to two? Well, the season finale just came on this week, actually.
Mm.
And it's just cinematically so beautiful. And it's such the way that the stories are written and to see these actors. For me, I'm watching it more from like an actor's perspective and like to see them playing these roles, like Shadow Moon, the main character who is discovering this whole world of all these gods and these people that he didn't know existed, and his wife, the dead lady, and then Mr. Wednesday, the guy who is like the mastermind of the whole thing. And there's a real life leprechaun who spits out these coins and he has this magic coin, and it's just a good show. So
I love it already.
But it's a lot for me because you guys know that I shy away from like the supernatural shit.
Right.
And I can't handle like scary shit.
Yeah.
You've been telling me to watch this shit.
And this isn't part of like Marvel Universe or any of that?
No. Oh, it's based on a book, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And
like Orlando Jones is in it.
Yeah.
You know Ricky Whittle?
No.
He like that fine little light skinned Spanish something. I think he's British or something. I don't know. He real like, I don't know, but he's on the show too.
So spoiler alert.
No, hell
there is
no,
a scene where it's not intricate to the, I mean, it, well, whatever. There's a scene where Orlando Jones' character actually goes back in time, and he goes on a slave ship of like slaves that were being brought over from Africa to the US, and he's talking to them saying like, y'all need to get up and like revolt. Like, y'all talking about they gonna kill you. You're already dead. That's what y'all don't know. Y'all might as well get up and take control of this ship right now. Get up and like fight. Cause I'm telling you, like, he has that conversation.
My
so
God.
Things like that were fascinating. The special effects are like out of this world. Bear with me. I'm trying to, you know, it's taking me 2 weeks to watch two episodes, but it's because I got to take it in doses. I just can't take a lot of that at the same time. It's a lot of blood, it's just a lot of stuff going on.
Mm.
But it's a beautifully written story, and
watch.
It's a beautifully shot
I'm
show.
Sold.
The characters, it's literally, stars, and it's fascinating television.
I
so,
gotta buy it on Amazon.
Do y'all know, you just took the words out of my mouth.
It's on Amazon
I was gonna
video.
Say, can you add it on Amazon?
I'm assuming,
you know how Amazon lets you add channels.
I think Stars is one of their things. Oh wait, so can I shop your login?
I like how he just ran with that.
I was like, wait, we about to kill another bird with this stone. I'm holding it. Like,
the
come on.
Only thing that I don't like about the show.
Oh.
Is that the opening credits, like the opening music, is literally 10 minutes long. Like, it feels like forever. Like, the credits come on. I have used the bathroom, fixed a plate, washed my hands, and then went in the room and sat down, and the shit's still been going. So, like, they're going to have to cut that back. Season two, y'all start making cuts to the budget and shit, then production credits, they got to go. Because I don't need to know none of that. I can look all that up online.
That
so,
is funny. I like that you're talking about scripted stuff.
Oh, yeah. We talk about, you know.
Because I definitely want to watch that. I'm sold.
Yes.
I'm
and sold Queen Sugar comes back this week. I'm so excited. Queen Sugar is back.
And Power.
Power is coming back this week. I'm so excited.
Can't
Naturi Norton is the cutest
truth.
Thing pregnant.
Who?
Naturi Norton.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
She's so cute pregnant. I saw her doing an interview. She just looks so cute. So shout out to her.
Yay.
That's it. I ain't going to take too much of our time. That's
what about
it.
Claus?
Claus is good.
Oh, yeah. Denise.
I haven't gone in depth on the show yet, but I want to break it down just a little bit more because there's a lot going on Claws. There's so many things that capture my attention.
TNT.
Sunday nights and TNT. And I just, the dynamics, the way that these relationships are woven together is just, I've never seen anything like it. And you know I'm all about loyalty and, you know, camaraderie and just people supporting each other. And the relationship that Niecy Nash's character, Desna, has with her, the ladies that work in her nail salon, I love it. That's they're great. All so different, but they just stick together. And so, you know, that had me hooked, line, and sinker.
It's Claws. It's good. You actually know, you got to watch Claws. You know,
I feel like y'all are going to make me just get a damn TV.
I'm sorry. Claws you is might good. Have to. Claws is good. Karrueche actually doing her thing on
nailing it. Acting her ass off. Really? Acting her ass off.
You know, I'm dying because this weekend I was at Claude's house and we do this thing that is funny to us. Where we order like a bunch of food and we get on the couch and like our PJs. This is my best friend, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And with Chuck Harmony, we've done this for years and we just watch terrible, like.
So you was on Netflix with me watching that Marcus Houston, that Chris Stokes films.
The Man in 3B. Oh my God. Y'all, Asante literally just walked out of the studio. But we were watching The Man in 3B.
Wow.
And then the movie with Karrueche.
The one where...
Her sister... Well, I mean, I won't ruin the plot in case some of you are interested, but...
Okay, wait. Did you see... Is that the one where Professor Ogilvy was her daddy?
No. Oh, that's another one. Professor Ogilvy.
There's like three of them that just put up, and Karrueche's in two of them. And I was like, why is she... It's Chris Stokes movies.
And we were watching it. But the funniest part is that I was Snapchatting because there was some random fireworks outside the window. But from the window's reflection, you could see the Man in 3B playing. And people on my Snapchat were like, I love that movie. I was like, no. Do you really? And the fact that they knew what I was watching, I was mortified. Because I was like, I hope they don't think I like it. It was absolutely terrible.
Awful.
And the funniest part that Claude pointed out that had us in tears, we had to pause it and everything, and we fell on the floor, and like that kind of like hearty belly, like tears coming out, like drooling, what you're happened? Laughing so hard. They tried to make it seem like they have you seen it? You've seen it.
The 3B?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're on a stoop, like the women are sitting on a stoop, like 227. And actually, Jack A was in it on the stoop, crazy enough. So the idea is that this is a building, right? Mm-hmm, like you think this is a building. But then when you shoot, when they're supposed to be walking in, it's actually a house. So they're going in and out of bedrooms pretending that it's an apartment building. But they put the number next to the bedroom door so it looks like an apartment door. And Claude was like, I'm lost. Is it an Airbnb?
And the shit looks shoddy.
To think that this is, and they're like walking down each other's hallways, like if it's a hallway in a building. Oh my God, it's so awkward. Once you realize it, you can't stop laughing anytime there's a hallway.
Now I gotta watch it again just to see how bad it is all over again. Like it already looks real. Like
please watch it again, and now you're gonna look and be like, this is a fucking house. This is someone's apartment.
The Man in 3B.
Oh my God. So many jokes.
They all are really bad too. Like
it's amazing.
Like they are like Kenya Moore Productions. Like you can tell that they are not
that. But you have that part alone. Like it's so funny. But anyways,
shout out to Kenya Moore. Speaking of which, she just got married over the weekend.
Really?
Yes.
To who?
She won't tell, and that's how I know it's for real. Because she is not budging. She ain't giving up nothing. And word on the street is Bravo was mad. That she ain't tell them shit because they ain't film shit. That's right. She didn't even let the cameras come in.
Beautiful.
So shout out to her. She looks like very, very happy. She's glowing.
Yay.
It was good to see that.
Congratulations.
So.
Did you see Matt's post?
Which means, you know, oh my God, you talking about Let It Go. We're going to change Matt Jordan, her ex-boyfriend's name, to Let It Go Louie. That's his new name.
And the man from 3B.
Let It Go. Is Matt Jordan?
No, but the man from 3B is that dude from Greenleaf, and I can't think of his name.
It is!
Right, that's what I'm trying
Which one from
the
Greenleaf?
The son, the pastor's son.
Oh, yeah, the one that played in the Tyler Perry movie and was going with Jill Scott.
Oh
What's
my
his
God,
name?
You're right. I did not make that connection at all.
Oh.
I don't remember his name. Oh. Anything else, Dustin?
No, that's it.
Yay. Well, thank you. I'm excited because I was able to participate this week.
Yes, exactly.
And you outdid yourself.
Why? Because wait till y'all rewatch that. All of you watching, rewatch that.
The
y'all
Man in 3B.
Die.
Lord have mercy.
The man in room B.
Room B.
No, the man in 3B.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that makes it easy, convenient, and affordable to get therapy. Over 500,000 people have experienced what Talkspace has to offer, from one-on-one sessions to couples therapy, not that kind. Oh, and just like any Talkspace plan, you can message your therapist anytime and anywhere from your smartphone or your web browser. So to sign up or to learn more, go to Talkspace.com/zone. Or use the Talkspace app and enter code ZONE to get $30 off your first month and to show your support for the Friend Zone. That's Talkspace.com/ZONE or enter coupon code ZONE when you sign up on the Talkspace app. Talkspace, therapy for all.
All right, so let's jump into what you guys want to ask us this
asking
week.
Asking for a
right?
friend.
Asking for a friend. What you got for us this week, Asante?
Don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com as you do each and every week. This one is called Celibate and It's Not Working, Honey.
I love it.
Well,
dear friends, I love your podcast. My boyfriend and I were both celibate before getting together and decided to remain that way throughout the relationship.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
We talked about it during our early stages of getting together. He expressed that he wants more physical touch because that's how he feels loved. But there's only but so much physical touch you can do before slipping into some sex.
Okay.
We still want to remain celibate. How do you create intimacy in a celibate relationship, especially when one partner values physical touch? Thank you. Celibate Sally.
Not Celibate Sally. I don't know if any of us can give advice on that. Because
really
which one
personal.
Of us is celibate and in a relationship?
Plus, it's all like about your boundaries, right? Like how far, you know, well, okay. Like, you know, first base, second base, you know what I'm saying? Third base. Like how far around the diamond are we going here before we cross, you know, we slide home?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's like okay and what's not okay. Because there are things that, you know, they could do, obviously, that are not sex.
Yeah.
You know, that would satisfy it, you know. I don't know.
I mean, like Dustin said, I guess it depends on the rules that you guys create. Like, is oral sex
part
of it?
Yeah, like, you know, is that...
Oh, if oral sex is a deal breaker, then obviously, you know, putting yourself in a position, no pun intended... that is going to make you crave that is never smart.
Literally.
But I get it. You're human. I don't know. Honestly, I mean, in my last relationship, there was a period where we were going through a lot, so we chose to be celibate, and mm-hmm. it was not easy. It wasn't mm-hmm. easy at all. Like, like walking through the living room naked. Obviously, he was doing that on purpose, too. But... trying to be like, yeah, we gonna see.
Literally.
Right? But I think it's, you know, it's up to you guys setting those boundaries. Like, if you know what's going to make you go down the rabbit hole, then don't create an environment that caters to that.
Right.
I think it's just something to keep in mind. But I know it's easier said than done. What do you think?
It's, you know, I don't have very much experience in this arena. It sounds like you just need to create a bunch of teasers, I guess. I don't know. Because you're tired of touching, right? So maybe just take a break from the touching and just make it real tantalizing. So when the touching does come back up, it can just be extra special. You know, like Fran said before, excite the senses. Maybe instead of touching tonight, we're just going to focus on being real sensual. And
that's tricky territory, though.
Because it leads to the touch. Like, that's my
thing. Once you open yourself up to, like, wanting to feel.
Well, I'm assuming you're about to say something else.
I mean, same.
Once you open yourself up to wanting to, I was like,
friend! Oh, my God! Imagine. I just said it that way.
Yes. I don't know. So I think, you know.
Tell each other secrets, your favorite things naked. I don't know. You're trying to create intimacy. Everything in my mind that creates intimacy leads right to sex, I guess.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, it's just real hard for me to tell you what to do without being like, and good luck not fucking when it's time to fuck. Like, I don't really know what to say to you.
I think that, like, y'all could do the into me, I see thing,
oh
and like
God,
just have time where you sit up, have time where you sit up, and like
why
you know,
you like this?
Share your feelings, you know, your inner feelings if you want to be intimate or whatever. But y'all can't like be, you know, necking and
necking,
rubbing and heavy petting and shit and dry humping and burning zipper and all this shit you used to do before you got sex. You know what I'm saying? You can't
burning
be doing
zipper.
That. Like y'all cannot be.
It
I don't
help.
See how you can burning have an burning. Intimate, all jokes aside, right? Because I don't want to, I'm not making fun of their choice.
No, of course not.
I just
think
that
awesome.
Like, yeah, okay. I'm having trouble finding the balance or the intersection, I guess, between intimacy and foreplay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and turning the car left on intimacy street instead of taking the freeway to foreplay. So I don't know.
It's
know.
Doable though, because Maya,
sure
shout
is.
Out to Shameless Maya. Her and her boyfriend have been together for a while now, and they are not having sex.
And they're
and
a beautiful
let me tell
couple.
And they are an awesome couple. They, if you
working
see how much
out.
Her body has changed because he's been training her. So they have figured out the boundaries that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cross the boundaries. They have open communication. If anyone's feeling weird about the boundaries or needs to shift them or change them, communication is key. But all I can say, obviously she's not here, so I can't speak
right.
for her. But it's doable. It's totally doable because they're doing it and they're or not doing it. And then,
but they have a beautiful relationship.
Amazing.
Like.
And I think, and I was telling her the other day, I'm like, the coolest part is that when she first told me that they were going to be celibate, I was like, wow, this is going to be tricky. But they're doing it. And now I'm like, yo, imagine the first time that they actually go forward. And how amazing is it going to be?
Well, they got
together.
A medic on site. So, you know.
No, but like legit, think about it. They've gotten to know each other so
yep.
well. They know each other's families. They've traveled. They know, like, they are opening up to each other emotionally and mentally and spiritually in their conversations and getting to know each other's personalities. I mean, the
they're
sex that you're
going
to have is going to be otherworldly.
They're
going to
make love.
Wow,
yeah.
wow.
They are going to make love.
I think that is, she has, I have to say, she has single-handedly shifted how I view
celibacy
mm-hmm. because I would never... ever have been like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be in this long-term relationship and not have sex. I was just, it's something I've never done. Right now, I'm a year into my celibacy. Actually, next month will be a year. Yay!
Ooh,
isn't that crazy? So awesome.
Damn, I think about how popping I would be right now if I did what
a
you did.
A year,
ago.
Yo. It's gonna be a year since I've smoked. Because remember, I quit everything. I
yeah.
stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, stopped dating,
you
stopped having
weed.
Sex.
Uh-huh,
yeah, I gave you my weed. So funny. I was like, bless you.
and Big Sean came right on. Blessings on blessings on blessings. I was like, yes.
Right. And I, you know, like I said, it's not religious, it's not revolutionary. It's just something that I felt like it was in my way personally. And I wanted to see if I removed all those crutches that I tend to go to when things aren't going my way, how will I process things not going my way now?
Mm.
And that's what this year has been. That's where even the petty part comes in. It's like, how am I processing life, processing
right.
information and things that make me uncomfortable? So I think it's awesome. And I really feel that the next person I date, I'm not going to have like, you know, a time frame like we not fucking for 90 days.
No,
like I'm not
just...
doing none of that. But I do think it's so cool, the idea of like learning someone
mm-hmm.
before you guys even penetrate. That's cool to me. That is cool. I have a newfound respect for it. Totally newfound respect. I used to think it was cheesy because I feel like sex is so important. It is important. It's a big part of how we communicate. And you see, you know, how you feel about each other, even
right.
someone's smell, like all those things matter. So it's not something that I don't know if I could just like not do it and be like, I'm going to wait till marriage. I don't know if it would be like that for me, but I am interested in like waiting and really, really getting to know the person, because I think that's some magical ass shit.
It
oh
becomes so much more attractive as an idea when it's something that's not imposed upon you as
oh,
a rule.
Not.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? When
and
you
even
have
with
the
your
opportunity,
partner,
yeah, when you
don't
have the opportunity
it.
To say like, "Oh, well, I want to decide," you know, to be celibate or to focus on something else other than sex. That's totally different than feeling like, well, you can't have sex before this, or you can't, you're not supposed to be having sex. You're wrong if you fucking out of marriage.
No. There can't be shame attached to it or guilt. Or I think what makes it cool, especially in Maya's case, is that they're both genuinely excited to be on this path together. And it's like a mutual respect. And that to me is what makes it cool. I don't want to be with a man that like gives me a cutoff. And I don't want to be a woman that gives a man a cutoff. I think it'd be cool if we just both have like that mutual understanding that is. I'm laughing because you're talking about into me, I see. And I'm like that.
I still haven't let that go.
But I do think it's something about it that now I am super fascinated by. And I find that so funny because you would not have gotten me to do that shit like a year ago. I'd have been like, what? 2 months tops.
See, part of me is like, should I start now? Because I'm still like, you know, in my 20s. But in my 30s, what if I just went crazy, you know?
I mean, I think it'll just hit when it hits. Like, if it's something that your body wants.
The pieces ain't hit.
Like, for me, it's my body. My body was like, girl, you need to put the brakes because these plum fools, like, it's not even worth it. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't like the people I was sleeping with. That sounds terrible.
I was about to say, damn!
No, I mean, that's the reality.
That's actual and factual.
I wasn't happy with the people that I was sleeping with. Yeah, so I want to change that. Mm-hmm. Changing means shifting some shit, and I'm shifting some shit this year. I'm shifting how I view the world, and hopefully how I view men shifting as well, so that I'll get a better one. But I think what you're doing to the listener letter, the asking for a friend is awesome. Yep. Set those boundaries.
Yes, ma'am.
And communicate when you guys semi-cross them. That's the only way to get around it. Hopefully we helped in some way, right?
So what can you do, though? Like, how do you set the boundaries?
Well, it's going to be different. For some people, celibacy... I know people that you can't. They don't even kiss.
What if you put like hot sauce, like on the band of your underwear? You know what I'm saying? It's like when you get down, you be like, what? No, see, no. There you go.
We have to decide if kissing is included. Yeah. If oral sex is included. For some people, it's just not penetrating.
Right.
That's it. Stop. Asante's over here showing me scenes from.
It's the one. It's the one. It's the
Is
one.
Is that the whole movie?
Yes.
You are funny.
No, Netflix, they let you look at it mobile.
So let's jump into this week's Black Business, shall we? So.
I don't need to see that.
You see Jackie? Just look at Jackie.
Who's Not our Jackie. Black business friend?
So Jazz hit me up. Jazz did what? And said, hey, Fran, Black business of the week, possibly. I ran into this cute brand at Brooklyn's Artist and Flea today. It's a young Black man named Timothy. It's all vegan and organic, gluten-free, beeswax. He told me it started off just for men and then it expanded to women. I tried a sample and it was great. It's shea and jojoba oil based, infused with select essential oils, and handcrafted in small batches, which is my favorite because that means it was made with love. She said the site is also super cute and it's called Elo. I hope I'm saying it right. It's either Elo or Elo Lip Care. That's ELOLIPCARE.com. She goes, I did not know this young man before, but we clicked instantly and I just thought you would love this. And so she attached the picture and the packaging is so cute. I think it's Elo. It's called Elo, the Art of Lip Care. I'm looking on their What is it with me today? Instagram? What is that?
Come on. What it should have been.
M's. I'm talking about M's.
And the packaging is super cute. I'm looking at one that's made out of lavender, which sounds so nice. And look at the packaging. Isn't that really nice?
It is.
Yeah, I'm going to need some of that.
Right? So definitely check them out. I think it's cool that she ran into young Timothy in Brooklyn and decided to send him a shout on the friend zone. Once again, that's Elo. ELO lipcare.com. Support a Black business today if you're looking for your lip
that's
care.
That's right. Get your lips together.
If you got Black lips, support a Black business.
And that's it for this week's Black business. That's actually it for this week's show. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
That is it for me. I just can't wait to see everybody at 305 Live on Sunday.
Yes.
One down basement.
Yes, 305 Live this Sunday. Don't forget to check out my Pride playlist. I'm so happy to be a part of that.
It is so cute, by the way.
Thank you, friend.
I finally got a chance to listen to it.
It's just upbeat hood shit. You know, I felt like for Pride, they was going to have us playing one thing. And I'm like, we're going to put on here what we really listen to.
Right.
So that's what that was for. Super dope with Spotify. Good looking out for that. Don't forget, August 19th. 2017, the Friend Zone Live 2-year anniversary show. Tickets going to sell this Friday at noon on Eastern Standard Time.
Yep, thefriendzonelive.com.
That's right. Come holler at us. We will be there. I can't wait to see all you guys. And, you know, right now, that's all I got to say, damn it.
The website ain't working. Just be a little patient, but not too patient.
Oh, yeah, not till Friday.
You know, we can't do nothing about it.
Right. We'll have those flyers up for you guys soon.
Yep.
As far as I go, I will be in the Dominican Republic by the time you guys are hearing this. So send me and the ladies that are participating in the retreat lots of love. Hopefully we get into a lot of amazing conversations and leave feeling amazing. Excited to meet you all. And that's it for me. We have an amazing announcement of where we're all going to... Well, no, we already said that we're all going to be at Essence Fest.
But yes,
we'll
get
to announce why we will be at Essence Fest, which is going to be so good. I cannot wait. I've been holding this in for months.
So good.
But that's it for us this week. As always, thank you so much for listening. We love you, and we will hear you next week.
Yeah. Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Don't forget, this week's episode is brought to you by Third Love. Third Love uses real women's measurements to create bras that will simply fit you better. Available in sizes AA through G and exclusive half-cup sizes, you can try one of Third Love's 24/7 bras free for 30 days. If it's not your new favorite, return or exchange it for free. Go to thirdlove.com/friend now and try Third Love for free 30 days. Put the fit first with Third Love.